Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. Huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here on WGN. And it is Tuesday, two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Get your request in now, one artist, two songs, and get them in now at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Hey, coming up on the show after 1:30, Kevin Powell is going to join us. He does sports on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis weekday afternoons right here on WGN. Great guy joins us to talk sports, you know, usually about once a month. So Kevin's going to join us to catch up on some sports. And then after 2 o'clock, Max Grinnell is going to join us. He's the urbanologist. It is the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire, so we're going to talk about that and much more, and what an urbanologist really does. Max, an interesting guy, and so we'll talk about the Great Chicago Fire, which happened on October 8th, 1871. So, yeah. We are also going to talk about discontinued products that people desperately want to return. We're going to get to that. We really miss some of these products. We want them to come back. We're also got some really ridiculous, if you remember, fictional movie food and drink, which we haven't gotten to. And we're going to do that as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. And subscribe to our podcasts. It's easy. It's free. You can go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe. It's free. And they will automatically be sent to you, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So there it is for this Tuesday morning. Get your Two for Tuesday requests in as well, 312-981-7200. Say hello to my producer, Tom Hush. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How you doing, man?
I'm a little sick.
Yeah, feeling it.
Yeah.
I think it's that change of weather.
Got the throat thing happening, a little coughing, a little runny nose, all the good stuff.
All the hallmarks of fall.
Yeah. And, not fun. So, yeah. So not feeling up to snuff right here. But, you know, how you doing?
I'm not too bad. I won't lie. The cold has hit me a little bit. Feeling kind of a little throaty, but not too bad.
Yeah, no, I got knocked back pretty good. I started feeling it yesterday, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, it's there.
It's that time of the season. It's the changing of the seasons.
It is, yeah. So anyway, that's, you know, this happens. You get every once in a while, you get a little sick when it's cold out. So.
Well, you just got to follow mom's advice. Wear a sweater.
I've got a sweatshirt on right now. So, anyway. All right. So, Tom is producing this morning. And in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Morning, sir.
How are you?
Doing very well.
Okay.
Got no sleep, but I'm okay. I kind of feel like I'm on like a NyQuil high because I've only gotten a few hours sleep since Sunday, I think. Because they were just drilling on the exterior of my building all day yesterday.
Oh, man.
But other than that.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's weird because, you know, because we keep these hours and, you know, when people do construction and drilling, it's usually during the day.
Right.
Not at this time, which would be more convenient for all of us. if they would do some drilling at 1 o'clock in the morning as opposed to, you know, 11 a.m.
Jeannie told me get some earplugs. I told her I know what'll happen. I'll wake up. They won't be in my ears. I'll have one in my nose and one stuck, you know, in my ear or something.
Yeah. Yeah, the earplug things. You know, that was something I was going to attempt. But my problem is that if like you put those earplugs in and then you're just afraid that you're going to miss your alarm.
Or that, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you put those earplugs in and then you're like, how am I going to hear my alarm when I need to get up? So, yeah. All right. Well, maybe you'll get some more. Are they scheduled to work on the building again today?
They're on my side of the building now. They're on the west side of the building, so they got to finish the whole thing. So.
All right. Well, I hope you get some rest.
Thanks, man.
Wow. All right. Well, Vic's on no sleep. I got a cold. Tom's the only one that seems okay.
Let's just walk into each other's studios and slap each other once an hour to keep us awake.
Yeah. No, I'm not tired. I don't feel well. Although I am a little bit fatigued because of this cold. Yeah, it's going around, though. I think my mom has a cold as well. And I think both my parents have colds. Maybe I got it from them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just blame mom and dad.
Yeah, blame mom and dad. So, anyway. All right. Well, it's Tuesday morning. Two for Tuesday. You get the requests in now, 312-981-7200. And always fun to talk to Kevin Powell, which means we're going to hear some Bill Withers, correct?
Absolutely, 100%. Oh, yeah.
You got to hear Bill Withers. Bill Withers is all about, Kevin Powell is all about Bill Withers. So there you go. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, apparently Sam Raimi says that there is more Evil Dead coming. And that's not a bad thing. That's a very good thing. And by the way, speaking of Evil Dead, the Midnight Show at the Music Box this weekend, both Friday and Saturday, it's a 4K restoration print of the original Evil Dead. So that's going to be fun. So that's fun. But all right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about this Evil Dead. I got the news here that there might be more Evil Dead coming up. And then after 1:30, Kevin Powell, and after 2 o'clock, Max Grinnell. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And hi, we're live in the Skyline studio here until 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. All right. So, Kevin Powell coming up to talk sports after 1:30. And it is the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire. So we're going to talk about that with the urbanologist, Max Grinnell. And that's after 2. So, Sam Raimi says that there might be some more Evil Dead coming. It's strange because I don't know if you read this like last week sometime, Tom. Bruce Campbell said he's done with Ash.
Right. He's mentioned before that he can't really take the physical punishment that it takes to be Ash. I mean, he's doing full on slapstick.
Yeah. Yeah, the stuff that they put him through in those movies and on the show. Just in case you thought this weekend's New York Comic Con was all about The Walking Dead, Dread Central said it wasn't the only zombie-related thing to get some news. Horror director-producer Sam Raimi also had some stuff to announce, and that stuff was specifically that there's more Evil Dead coming. He also noted that longtime series star Bruce Campbell, who hung up his chainsaw last year after the cancellation of Starz Ash vs. Evil Dead, will be on board as a producer, but that's apparently all the information he gave. I wonder if my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, knows about this. She's so good on Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Oh, really, that's the reason I fell in love with the show, was she brought a new energy to it.
Oh, she's... great.
New feeling to the franchise.
Just great. She's great. And she's my future ex-wife. I love her. We don't know if this will be a continuation of the original series, as the TV show was, a sequel to the remake from a few years ago, or another full-on reboot. But as Raimi says, there's more Evil Dead coming either way. This is pretty much the same as what Raimi said a few months ago when he said he was talking to producers about doing something with Evil Dead. Whether or not he can convince Campbell to pick up his boomstick again, though. His New York Comic Con comment sounds more definitive than what he was talking about earlier this year, though. So there's maybe something that there really is more Evil Dead coming this time around. Yeah. All right. I'll take that.
Now, would you prefer a continuation of the original series like Ash vs. Evil Dead, or do you want to see more out of that remake world?
Well, I thought the remake was great. I thought it was great. And you know, and Jane Levy, by the way, that her performance in that movie, it's a great, like a truly great horror performance. And I love her. I loved her in Don't Breathe. I think she was great in that, working with the same director. But, any Evil Dead is fine with me. Like, if you want to get Ash back in there, I would like to see my future ex-wife get some more work. That would be nice, get Dana DiLorenzo in there. But I'm all about it. I mean, but I know a lot of people didn't like the remake. but I did. I thought it was great. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was one of the few horror movies I managed to take my girlfriend to, because she likes a good horror movie, but it really needs to be impressive. And if I remember correctly, at the time, it was remade in 2013.
Yeah.
At the time, it kept being billed as being the scariest movie of the year, the most disturbing movie of the year. They really leaned into that. And so I begged her. I said, please, let's go see this. This is going to be fun. If it gets too crazy, just walk out of the theater. I really want to see this. I want you to come with me.
Yeah.
And so she relented. She said, okay, I'll do this for you. We'll go see Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. And she ended up really loving it, mainly because of Jane Levy.
Well, she's amazing in it.
Yeah. I thought I really liked the idea that she was going to be the future of the franchise, since, you know, Bruce Campbell had his time and he'll never not be Ash, but if they wanted to continue, they were going to have to go down a different road. And I thought it was a great direction that they went in. I thought Fede Alvarez did a great job distinguishing it from the original series.
And it's also, I mean, it didn't, you know, like, if you go back and you look at the original Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead, which, by the way, they're showing at midnight at the Music Box Friday and Saturday this weekend. It's a 4K restoration, so that should be pretty amazing. But if you go back and look at the original Evil Dead, it's not funny. Like, Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness and Ash vs. Evil Dead, they were very, very funny, especially Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead 2 is hilarious. But the first one's not. You know, the first one's, you know, pretty hardcore, you know, and the tone of it is dark. And they did the same thing with the remake, because the remake's not funny. There's no, it's not funny. It's really gross too, like really bloody and very, very twisted. And I loved it. But I remember when Evil Dead 2 came out the same year as, it came out the same, like a couple of weeks after, like 2 or 3 weeks after Raising Arizona. They came out right around the same time. And they were really, you know, like really sort of landmark movies for that time period, 1987. You know, the Coen brothers just went unhinged with Raising Arizona. And it's a classic. Raising Arizona is a classic. And then Evil Dead 2 comes out a few weeks later. And they're buddies. You know, the Coens and Sam Raimi, they know each other. They've worked together. Crime Wave. They worked on Crime Wave together, which is a great movie. And, of course, Sam Raimi always will be known as Snickering Gunman from Miller's Crossing.
Truly his pinnacle.
Oh, please. Do you remember, have you seen the movie Indian Summer?
I know of it. I've not seen it.
You know,
Indian Summer.
Raimi's really good in it. He's hilarious in it.
Did he direct it?
No. He's in it. He's just in it. Yeah.
Okay.
And he's really funny in it. He's really, really good. But anyway, when Evil Dead 2 came out, I was surprised at just how hilarious it was. And it was like Three Stooges. It was like you know. And I laughed my ass off when I saw Evil Dead 2, and I didn't expect it to be as wacky as it was, because the first Evil Dead is just so dark. But that second one is hilarious, man. Who's laughing now when he cuts his hand off? Come on, man.
It's like Scooby-Doo hijinks, you know?
Oh, absolutely. The camera work and the you know, the editing and the music and the ridiculous effects.
I'm a huge fan of when the taxidermy starts laughing at him. That really gets me every single time. Yeah. The big weird-looking deer just starts laughing maniacally.
Well, I'm all about I would love to see more Evil Dead. I know that Bruce Campbell's probably not going to do it, but, you know, if you want to do a sequel to the remake, I'm all for that.
Do you think they would keep the horror tone of that remake and just say, hey, we're going to keep Evil Dead relatively serious?
If
Bruce Campbell's not in it, I feel like something will be missing from the comedy side of it.
I didn't quite understand Bruce Campbell's appearance post-credits. In the remake, that was the one thing I was like, "Why does?" I love Bruce Campbell. Please, obviously, I love the guy.
Duh.
But it was just weird that he showed up.
Mm-hmm. It was, I believe, that there were plans at some point to merge the two.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because they were going to do Army of Dark. Sam had this whole thing. He was going to do Army of Darkness 2. And then a sequel to the 2013 Evil Dead titled Evil Dead 2, and that, or something to that effect. And then they would come together with Jane Levy's character and Bruce Campbell into a fully merged Evil Dead, you know, mega movie. I don't think there was ever a snowball's chance in hell of that happening.
No, and then they went the route with Ash versus Evil Dead,
which I think was the smarter thing to do, because they got to go to a place where they were given money to play around more and not have to worry about if this was going to flop and how much money it was going to make. Whereas on TV, there's more room for chances, I think.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the production company that Raimi is responsible for anyway, you know, did the Hercules and the Xena and all that stuff. That's why they shot in New Zealand, because that's where Hercules and Xena shot all their stuff. And I think Ash vs. Evil Dead is great. I mean, I love it. If there's more Evil Dead, that's cool. You know what? You know what's a really underrated Sam Raimi movie? Well, there's a lot of underrated Sam Raimi movies.
Sure.
There's like A Simple Plan is I think one of the best movies he's ever made, and about five people saw it. I like The Gift. Nobody sees that. Keanu's in it. But I really, really, really love Drag Me to Hell. I love that movie, and I thought it was great. And I, you know, it was PG-13, but he got away with all this, you know, because he changed the color, like the blood. It wasn't blood.
It was just goop
flying all over the place. I thought that movie was great
and pretty scary.
It was scary.
There's a lot of scary stuff and still funny at times.
Yeah.
It was a much darker sense of humor, but still funny.
Yeah. So, okay. We are going to take a break here for news, and then we're going to come back, and Kevin Powell is going to be with us, and we are going to talk sports. That's all coming up right after this, and the news is up after this.
And I know it's going to be a lovely day.
Back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, on a Tuesday morning. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. It's one artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We are going to talk with Max Grinnell, who is the urbanologist, and this is the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire. So we're going to talk about the Great Chicago Fire and much more with him coming up a little bit later on. 312-981-7200 is our phone number for talk and text and Two for Tuesday requests. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. So there you go. All right. Well, you know, you hear Bill Withers and you know what that means. It can only mean one thing. Kevin Powell. Kevin Powell is my man. He is does WGN Sports on the Rokan Show. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And he joins us to talk sports and all things sports related. And here's Kevin. Kevin, how are you, man?
I'm great, but I do have some bad news to report right off the top, Nick. Uh-oh. I apologize.
Okay.
Yeah, our beloved WGN 16-inch softball team fell in the media Chicago-wide Softball League Championship last night, Nick. Oh. We lost to Chicago Readers, so it was a great season and a great run led by Justin Kaufman and many of our other beloved WGN extended family members. So they lost in the championship to Chicago Reader, but it was a good run, Nick. It was a good season.
Chicago Reader? The Chicago Reader beat you?
I'm pretty sure they may have had a few ringers on that team, Nick. I can't confirm that report, but might have had a few ringers on that team.
That's what I'm thinking.
It was a good time, though.
Okay, well, congratulations on a fun season, then.
That's absolutely. We all went out. There was a handful of us went out to watch the game last night out in Franklin Park. So I wanted to be the first one to report that. But sorry to start the segment on a bad note, Nick. But it was a good season all around.
There we go. All right. Well, let's get into it. How you been, man?
Couldn't be better. No complaints over here, Nick. I'm having a blast, and thank you for having me, as always. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you do the sports on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis every day, and that's always a lot of fun, yeah?
Oh, it's more than fun. It's my favorite part of every day is between 3 and 7 in the afternoon. So love those guys. We talk about a wide variety of topics and, of course, plenty of sports stuff as well. So end of baseball season, plenty of Bear stuff, and I know you're excited to get the Blackhawks season rolling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun that they went to Prague for the opener. You know, that must have been a really good time. They did lose. But I do want to mention a couple of things about the Hawks. First of all, my main man Marian Hossa visited the Blackhawks in Prague.
Mm-hmm.
I miss that man very much.
Yeah,
he's my favorite Hawk, and I've always loved the guy. Talk a little bit about that visit.
Yeah, I thought it was cool to start the season that way. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Marian Hossa. You can really feel how much the organization appreciates what he did for the team when he played with the Blackhawks. And if you look back at his play, maybe not as flashy as some players, right? But he did just about everything right, and he was such a fun player to watch. And when he did have to walk away from the game because of something we haven't heard a ton of, but for the reason he did with the skin ailment, things really changed pretty quickly. I think you'd agree with that, Nick. Yeah. That it was pretty apparent when Marian Hossa left, the team just looked different. Yeah. And I just thought he was such an all-around great hockey player on both ends of the ice, and he was fun to watch. But, yeah, I thought it was cool. You know, I don't think you can discount how much that matters for the long run of a season. Not talking about just the individual game, which, as you said, ended in a loss. We've got to figure that matters, that you went on a week and a half. You're basically going on a trip with your teammates, with your coaches. Everybody's getting to know each other. If you go on a trip with anybody, you're going to get to know them pretty well.
Yeah.
And a lot of the players said that. So I like that they started that way. And I also like how the league scheduled their next few weeks here, where we have seven home games in a row at the United Center. And if you're going to start overseas, I think the league should throw you a little bit of a bone if you're going to show off the brand and those sorts of things overseas. Not that anybody was complaining, but the travel, et cetera. Now they have seven straight games at home where they can kind of settle in and get things organized.
Yeah, no, that's really kind of unheard of to have seven games in a row at home. And it's awesome. It's completely great.
Yeah. Seven straight at home and eight of the first nine are at home.
Yeah,
so
it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. You know, you're right about Hossa. You know, when he left the team, it did change the team a lot. He was a big, mm-hmm. you know, he was a big part of the team. Big Hossa was my favorite player on the team, and I will never ever one of the greatest games that I've ever seen. Game five, 2010. When Hossa gets out of the, is called for the major,
Yep.
gets out of the box, scores the winning goal. It was really truly one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen.
And the way it went down, where everyone was groaning, oh, the host of the new guy, he gets a penalty late in the game, and then he comes out and he scores the goal. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why we got Marian Hossa here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Completely agree. He had a great run. And I agree with you. It was good to. And John McDonough, president of Hawks, of course, had a ton of good things to say about Marian Hossa. I think they really appreciated what he brought to the table. For a lot of different reasons, and the players have always gloated about him, how much they loved and appreciated the way he went about his business. So yeah. I like the way that they started the season, and here we go, Nick. We got a shot to see our Hawks up close at the United Center over the next couple weeks here.
Yeah, I was wondering how Gritty enjoyed Prague. I was wondering if Gritty and maybe Gritty went out on the town with Tommy Hawk. Maybe they both went out to.
I wonder. That's a scary thought. Those two out on the streets in the streets of Prague. I don't know how that would go down, but yeah, Gritty, a scary fella, Nick. He scares me. Of all the mascots out there, he scares me a little bit.
He does scare you.
He's got those loose eyes, man. He's got crazy eyes.
He does have crazy eyes, doesn't he? He does. I think the Hawks are gonna have a good season. I'm looking forward to it. What about you?
Yeah, I would be completely surprised if they don't make the playoffs. I think that's completely reasonable expectations that it should be a playoff-type team. Now, the division they're in's got some really tough teams in it between Nashville and St. Louis, of course. So they're going to play some tough teams. But they showed enough down the stretch, and I don't think we should completely dismiss the fact that Jeremy Colleton had a full offseason with this team.
Yeah.
I mean, Q was the opening day coach last year.
Yeah.
And think of how quickly things changed. And look, this is nothing against the players. If you're somewhere for a certain amount of time, for as long as Q was, and you had the amount of success you did, and whether you agree or disagree that the Hawks should have or should not have gotten rid of Q, if you're the players who have been there, of course there's going to be some sort of adjustment.
Sure.
And not even being stubborn against the new guy. It's just, I mean, come on, they won three cups with Q. Those were guys, but they were his guys for a decade.
Yeah.
So there's going to be an adjustment, not necessarily even rejecting Colleton, but figuring out what his message is and then applying it to their game. So we obviously saw that a little bit with the Hawks, but I think everybody understands the type of style Colleton likes to play, which is the up-tempo stuff.
Yeah.
Press the puck. And down the stretch of the season, They came out from one of the worst teams in hockey record wise to all of a sudden there was a few weeks there, Nick, where they were knocking on the door of a postseason berth. There was enough to give you hope. There were enough changes this offseason. I think they shored stuff up at goaltender with Corey Crawford having some health trouble over the past few years. You bring in Lehner, that kind of gives you a little bit of a security blanket, and maybe it takes a little pressure off of Crawford as well. So I thought there was enough done this offseason. You factor in that it's Colleton's first offseason. He's your day one coach. Everything factored in, I think there's plenty of reason to be optimistic if you're a Blackhawks fan.
Yeah, I'm with you too, man. I totally agree, and I'm looking forward to the next game. Next game is against San Jose, and it's this Thursday, and it's part of a 7-game homestand, which is really crazy.
Yeah.
Really crazy.
Yeah.
And it'll be right here on WGN, obviously, at 7:30.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and shameless plug, the Rokan Show will be live at the United Center leading you up, a little extended pregame, and we'll do our thing. But we do that about once a month throughout the season. We post up at the Goose Island Pub. I believe that's section 107 to 108. So shameless plug, but if you're coming out, we'll be there.
Yeah, no, you got to be. You want some people out there. It's fun to do remotes from the UC, man. Kevin, hang on, okay, man?
All right, you got it.
All right, buddy. Kevin Powell is with us. He does sports on the Rokan Show right here on WGN, and you can hear him every weekday afternoon between 3 and 7 as part of the Rokan Show with Hannah DeVlantes. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back, talk more sports with Kevin Powell right here on 720 WGN.
It won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I have faith.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Bill Withers means Kevin Powell. and he joins us to talk sports. We're here on a Tuesday, Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. And let's get back into the conversation with Kevin Powell. Kevin, welcome back, man.
Bill Withers always puts a smile on my face, so it's always great hearing that, Nick. Thank you for having me.
Of course, man. So the Blackhawks were in Prague. The Bears were in London. So and the Bears did not win this past Sunday, and the ratings were at an all-time low for the Bears.
Yeah, it was a frustrating game for the Bears, where there was a lot of conversation about when do you go to London, how long does it take to adjust, and all those sorts of things. And for a lot of people who were screaming at the Bears to go earlier, you know, they had enough fuel to continue that argument after the first half, when they just looked so bad in all aspects of the game, Nick, and particularly at the offensive and defensive line. The line of scrimmage was completely owned by the Oakland Raiders in that game. They looked unprepared. John Gruden, the character he is, he really won the day. He game planned perfectly for Khalil Mack and for the Bears and for that ferocious defense. And the Bears were getting blown up. They gave up over 150 yards on the ground, which is basically unheard of for this defense over the past couple of years, which has been by far the best rushing defense in the NFL. It was frustrating. That's a game they should have won. It reminded me of a game from last year in Miami when there were some outside excuses as well. I shouldn't even say excuses. There were some outside factors that people were talking about after the game, the excessive heat they had in Miami. They played horrible, but they still somehow found a way to come close to winning that game. It really felt similar. That was actually a Week 5 matchup as well. So, look, they're 3-2. That's what they were last year. The difference between this year and last year is, one, they have a target on their back, and two, the schedule does not let up at all. They have the toughest schedule in all of football. They've got to get better. We'll see if Mitch Trubisky's ready for the Saints in a couple weeks, but they enter their bye. It was a letdown. And this division, the NFC North, is looking like it might be the best division in all of football. So to squander an opportunity there to beat a Raiders team, which is looking like it might be pretty good, is frustrating. Still very much in it. Still a long season to go, but that's one you got to have. You got to be 4-1 in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Nagy seemed a little angry.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. I think he's angry and he's frustrated. I don't know if angry is the right word, because he is Mr. Positive.
Yeah.
But I think there is some frustration. When all offseason we were talking about how good this offense can be, they're going to make some strides. It's in the second season under Matt Nagy. Mitch Trubisky's entering his third year, his second season with Matt Nagy. There's a ton of weapons on offense. And the offensive line has been really bad. They've been horrible on first and second down, so you create third and long situations, which gives the defense all the upside in that scenario. And things just aren't clicking. And everything we saw from Matt Nagy last year, where there's this innovation on the offensive side of the ball, you know, it's a centennial year, Nick, and I've been saying this,
right,
that it's been 100 years of Chicago Bears football. And it's sort of been a perfect start to this season, kind of mirroring the 100 years of Chicago Bears football, which is outstanding defense and horrible offense. haven't we seen that storyline played out about a million times?
Absolutely.
In Chicago,
yeah,
with the Bears? Every great team, they've had a great defense, but they haven't had a great offense. And it finally felt like they were on the verge of being this modern-day team with an offense that can win you the game and not just have to manage the football. And that just hasn't been the case this year. And it starts with the offensive line. We might see some changes there over the next couple of weeks as they have this bye, and then they have the Saints a couple Sundays from now.
Yeah. The Saints, and that's at home, right?
Yeah, that'll be at home. The next two are at home.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There you go. All right. Hey, Cody Parkey returning to the NFL? Is that going to happen?
Return of the park. He's back. The Titans, Cairo Santos, who was actually given a shot with the Bears last year in the leading up to the season, he didn't work out. He missed, I believe it was 3 field goals for the Titans this past Sunday. And they're going to give it a whirl with Parkey. I mean, look, good for Cody Parkey. I wish him all the best. But to see that name pop up, I didn't think he would kick again. But I guess there's just not enough kickers to go around, and teams get desperate. And, hey, Give him a shot. Yeah. Good luck, Cody Parkey.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens.
Good luck to Parkey and the Titans.
Little double doink right there.
Little double doink. Nightmare fuel is what I refer to it as, Nick. Nightmare fuel. That's scarier than any movie you've ever seen, Nick.
Yeah.
Is that double doink, that sound. Ro always plays that every afternoon when I mention Parkey or kicking or anything.
That's the
double doink, and it is frightening.
Yeah,
it is frightening.
It is. Let's talk a little Cubs. What about the who do we think is going to be their manager, and who would be good?
I think David Ross makes sense. I know some people may be skeptical about he's never managed before, but we've seen that trend in baseball where, like, Aaron Boone and the Yankees. There's a handful of examples of guys getting opportunities who hadn't managed before. Where you look at baseball, the front office is really making. With the amount of numbers and all that goes into a game plan for a baseball game these days, the front office very much has a large stake in the way a game is managed. So I think a big part of hiring managers these days is, yes, you have to know the ins and outs of a game. You have to know the X's and O's and strategic plays and things like that. But I think a big part of it is connecting with the players and culture. And look, Joe Maddon was a perfect blend of both, where he was kind of old school, but he also embraced the younger generation of players, and he wasn't afraid of change. And David Ross is kind of the guy they need, where, look, the Cubs had the most outs on the base paths in all of baseball. They had some of the most errors in all of baseball. That's just not what we came to expect from the Cubs over the past few years. And a guy in 2016, yes, he was Grandpa Rossi, who was this lovable guy. It was a great story. But David Ross was the guy that would go after his teammates if they did the fundamentals of baseball, if they didn't do them right. So they all loved him. He was embraced in the clubhouse, but he was also another sort of coach, as many catchers are. To me, it seems like the obvious choice. I think David Ross would make sense for the Cubs.
I think, you know, and also obviously there's talk about Joe Girardi as well, who's got a history with the Cubs and more experience. And I think he would be a nice fit too, actually.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, in baseball, the manager probably takes too much blame when it's not warranted. Maybe they get a little bit too much credit when there is success. It comes down to the players performing, and to me, that's a bigger question mark. Yeah, of course, manager's big, but what sort of changes are we going to see from Theo Epstein? This is a core of young guys who won a World Series at such a young age. How willing is Theo Epstein? How okay is he with dealing away some of these players? Will he make some dramatic move of trading one of them away? So that's another. Once that managerial spot is filled, I'm really interested to see what sort of moves Theo Epstein makes this offseason.
Yeah. And then speaking of moves, what do you think the Sox are going to do in the offseason here?
Probably spend more than they ever have in free agency.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players out there that make a whole ton of sense for the White Sox, whether it's this big-time starting pitcher. They definitely need a right fielder. They're going to spend some cash this offseason. They were willing to spend around $300 million on Manny Machado last offseason. That's a sign that they're willing to spend money, and this is the perfect time for the White Sox to spend money in this rebuild when you saw these younger players make progress throughout the season. This is kind of that turning point. We add some free agent pieces and really turn some heads around baseball.
You know, there's a pretty positive buzz around the team. They had 10 more wins than they did last season. You know, it was they were pretty fun team to watch this past season.
They were. I mean, Tim Anderson won the batting title.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that since 1997. Frank Thomas did it. Yoel Makata had a great year. Eloy Jimenez had 31 homers. So there was a lot of things to look at. Lucas Giolito, look at the season he had.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the individual growth gives you optimism for 2020 White Sox.
Yeah. All right. And you can hear it all right here on WGN. There it is. Kevin, always a pleasure, my man.
Hey, is Joker, did you do a Joker review yet? Because I'm dying to see it.
Yeah, I did. And it's terrible.
Okay.
I hated it.
Really? Yeah. No.
Yeah. Well, no, I hated it.
Okay. Now I'm gonna go listen back to your review. I'm disappointed because I'm dying to see it.
Look, there are people who love it, though. I got to say, it's almost split right down the middle. Either people love it or they hate it. I'm on the hate side.
See, I'm interested because I'm not very comic book. I'm not into, like, the Marvels and all that. So, to me, that's what intrigues me, where it doesn't necessarily feel like a comic book movie,
right,
but more of a character study type situation. But, yeah, all right, well, see it. And maybe next time I get on, we'll talk about it.
We can talk about it. All right, Kevin, thanks, man. And everybody can listen to you doing the sports on the Rokan Show every weekday afternoon right here on WGN. Thanks, Kev.
You're the best, Nick. Appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy. Take care. Kevin Powell, always a blast to talk sports with Kevin. And we'll do it again soon, right here on 720 WGN. Okay, we got a break for the news right here on WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the WGN Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago, here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Get your request in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So today marks the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire. Happened in 1871. And there's a lot of myths surrounding that fire, and a lot of facts and a lot of history regarding that. And we're going to talk about that with our guest here, Max Grinnell, who is the urbanologist. You can check out theurbanologist.com. Follow him on Twitter at theurbanologist. And he's a historian, and we're going to talk about the great Chicago Fire and more. Let's bring Max to the show. Max, welcome to the show.
Nick, so glad to be with you tonight.
All right, man. Tell us what an urbanologist is.
It's someone who teaches and writes about the urban condition. So I teach urban studies. I'm the author of several books on Chicago, including my first book, almost 20 years ago, was about the history of Hyde Park. I came to the city 25 years ago to go to school at the University of Chicago. I was fascinated by the South Side, the process of urban renewal, kind of conversations about that place, and kind of grew from there. So that's been kind of part of my work ever since.
So tell me about what it is that you like so much about Chicago. Why is it so fascinating? Why do you, why are you compelled to be a part of the city?
I think the thing that still gets me excited decades later is the thing that there's always, I always tell my students, cities are always changing. So you think about all the stuff we've seen that's happened with expansion of universities in the South Loop these days, the rise and fall of a kind of transformation of Near North, which most people know as River North. And you think about how the city's transportation and cultural networks are kind of always in flux. And I think things are always in cycles in a big city like Chicago. I think you'll always find something new. And I think the best way you can do that, as you know so well, is through talking by those people who know the city and taking the time to slow down and talk to other people around them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm born and raised in Chicago. Never lived any place else, and always lived in the city. Never in the suburbs or anything. I've always been in the city, and I love this city. I absolutely love Chicago. I just think it's
great. A man after my own heart.
Yeah, it's a great town. Now, what happened? What? Tell me about the website, The Urbanologist. What goes on there?
A few years ago, when I was thinking, how do I, everyone has kind of a different way to present themselves online, the good, the bad, the other. And I thought of, well, all my interests focus around, kind of cities, and specifically a lot of the time Chicago. So I thought urbanologist, I quite literally, Nick, looked it up in a dictionary. I was like, this is a word I've seen before, someone who explores the urban condition. I still get questions. People say, did you make the word up? Is it something, you just like push two words together? And I said, it's a real word. It's a real word.
Mm-hmm.
It is an actual word. And I was like, what the hell? Let's jump on it. And to be honest with you, urbanologist.com was already taken. Someone had already squatted on that website. So I should have got on it years before, so it just became The Urbanologist.
Ah, you added that V in there. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Now, where do you teach?
I teach urban studies at the University of Chicago, and I teach mostly undergraduates. We do like a survey class where we're out doing field research. Students may pick, quite literally in my class, I have students do an assignment where they'll pick an intersection in the city. So we could be talking North and Halsted. We could be talking 55th and Halsted. You know, they'll pick an intersection, and they'll look at how that corner has evolved over time. That's kind of our gateway for thinking about who's there now, who's been there in the past. And of course, people look and they say, hey, there's a building there. There used to be another type of land use there. And that kind of gets the ball rolling for thinking about how cities have changed.
I like that idea of like picking an intersection and looking at it now as opposed to how it changed. I grew up in Wrigleyville. I grew up about six blocks away from Wrigley Field, and that area now, I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah,
God, it's insane now. So different than it was when I was growing up.
Yeah, I mean, you think of all the, I mean, the fact that there's the massive hotel and kind of the entertainment landscape you might find around, you know, another stadium. It still blows my mind as well just to think about all the changes over there. It's kind of insane.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I mean, having known that area, you know, through my entire childhood, it just every time I go near Wrigley Field now, I'm completely blown away by how it is. I don't even recognize the area anymore. It's really crazy how it's changed.
Yeah, the number of holdouts over there. I mean, you think about a handful of bars, maybe G-Man, you say Lounge, but certainly, you know, again, like I always tell my students, like, do you want to get more money out of your land or less money? Well, you know the situation over there. They're working towards a lot more money.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is, you know, that's what happens. You win a World Series, and then the whole landscape changes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so it is the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire. First of all, everybody, whenever we talk about the Chicago Fire, you always talk about Mrs. O'Leary and the cow. That's the first thing that pops up.
Absolutely.
Always. And she's been exonerated over the, you know, in the past. And so we should stop blaming Mrs. O'Leary and her damn cow for the Chicago Fire. Why does that always pop up?
Well, you know, it pops up in a kind of something that's close to my heart. Of course, like a lot of other people, I hope. It came up because a newspaper man wrote a story about it. And it was a fellow whose name was Michael Ahern, worked for the Chicago Republican, long gone newspaper by this point, who made this claim that the fire had started when the cow kicked over a lantern.
Right.
It was not, of course, true. It was the O'Leary family barn. They did have animals on the property. But this is kind of conjured up. And of course, this is part of the thing where the city council exonerated Mrs. O'Leary and her family in 1997. This is one of the things that, listen, this is a completely fabricated story. But, you know, it sounds kind of good, right? Here you are in the city, rapid industrialization. People still have, they're keeping domesticated animals. And look, now we're faced with the same thing again in 2019 with this brouhaha about should people allowed to keep goats in their backyard. So,
right.
You know, with your locavores and other folks. And I personally think, why not? Why not? You know, hey, if you want an animal in your backyard, but I don't live close to a goat. So I guess that's probably part of the conversation. And of course, you know, memorialized later in all kinds of movies, a very famous illustration from Harper's Magazine. Yeah. So people would purchase that and see it. So, no radio or TV at that point in the 1870s, so people are getting all that news through print, and it kind of I want to avoid saying it spread like the Chicago Fire, but it just happened.
Yeah, but it was perpetual. It happened. I mean, like this, the Mrs. O'Leary's cow was the thing that everybody talked about when it came up, when the Chicago Fire came up. Now the fire, which happened on October 8th, started on October 8th, 1871. It killed between 200 and 300 people. It destroyed 17,450 buildings. Hundreds of 100,000 people were homeless. An estimated $200 million in 1871 dollars in damage. And, yeah, I mean, it's still gone down in history as one of the biggest fires ever. And but what is it that that about this fire that makes it so legendary? Because there's been fires in other cities, major fires in other cities. But what is it about this one?
You know, I think, Nick, the thing about the Great Chicago Fire is that Chicago had gone through such a rapid growth from that, from the 1830s to 1871. It was a city in which you had had, you know, pioneering types of construction, the consolidations of the, you know, start of the meatpacking industry, timber, and all these other things that were starting to happen so exponentially quicker, faster than any other American city out. And, you know, at the time it was referred to as the old Northwest, the Middle West, later the Midwest. And people were excited, intrigued, especially back east and other parts of the world, about Chicago's rapid growth, right? It seemed almost impossible. And so I think that's kind of a key part of the story. And certainly, you know, if you read those newspaper accounts in the days and weeks and months following the fire, there was that spirit of, we will rebuild. There's a famous quote, and I've used this sometimes when I've taken my students over by, you know, the Chicago Fire Academy on what was then DeCoven Street, and talked a little bit about this. And a famous headline that read from the Tribune, "Cheer up. In the midst of a calamity without parallel in the world's history, looking upon the ashes of 30 years accumulation, the people of this once beautiful city have resolved that Chicago shall rise again." And of course, just like many texts these days, there's a lot, those last four words are in bold face.
Right.
So you make sure, don't forget. And of course, the success after the fire and the rebuilding, tremendous.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, hang on, Max, okay?
Sure.
All right, Max Rinell is here with us. He's the urbanologist. Check out theurbanologist.com. For his website, and we're going to come back, talk more about it. It's the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire. We'll talk more about it after we take a break here on 720 WGN.
Now, when I was a young boy, at the age of five, my mother said I was going to be the greatest man alive.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday, get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Yeah. So we are talking with Max Grinnell, who is an urbanologist. Theurbanologist.com is his website. He's an historian, and he teaches classes and studies this city as well. It is the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire, October 8th, 1871, and we're talking a little bit about that. Max, welcome back.
Good to be here, Nick.
All right, man. So, so how long did it take, you know, after the fire destroyed so much of the city, how long did it take to rebuild? Did it take a very long time to rebuild, or?
You know, the rebuilding started almost immediately. The fire went as far north, almost about Fullerton Avenue, and south and west of Mrs. O'Leary's barn, about a mile or so. So it's a vast area, and as you already mentioned in the introduction, thousands of buildings destroyed. But that spirit was that the city would need to rebuild, and fairly quickly. Kind of, you think about those key networks today, a lot of the major railroad stations were gone, but a lot of the trackage and stuff still persisted. And if you think about today, what if O'Hare, Midway were out of commission for weeks or months, you know, devastating effect on the city and Chicagoland's economy. But fortunately, they were able to rebuild a lot of those structures fairly quickly. And interestingly enough, and this has come up a few times with other folks, you can, of course, see some of the buildings that are still around. A couple weeks ago, I was at the celebration for the 150th anniversary of the Water Tower. So that's famously is sometimes repeated as we talk about those myths around the fire.
Yeah.
As the only building that survived the Chicago fire, that's not true. And I'll tell you, that's a building to me that every time I look at it, I see something new.
Yeah.
Great building material. You got your Joliet limestone. And, of course, it was damaged during the fire. But that's certainly the most famous structure that we still have today. Interested folks are listening. You want to go up to 2100 block of North Cleveland in Lincoln Park, you can still see a couple famous buildings, a couple kind of modest cottages now worth, geez, I don't know, $1-2 million.
Yeah.
That also survived the fire. So there are those little structures that were, those are kind of the things that are still left from that time period, which if you think about kind of the history of the city, you know, every city is based on creative destruction. We tear down, we build, we tear down, we build. It's kind of neat to think that some of those places are, we can go by and say, wow, this place made it through the Chicago fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And the water tower is just, I mean, the water tower is just a beautiful building and just amazing to look at.
I'm glad to hear another, I'm glad to hear someone else say that, Nick. You know, sometimes people say, oh my God, how the hell is this thing still here?
no, I like it. I love that building. I think it's great. I love it.
Yeah. And it was kind of interesting side note. It was the first structure in the city of Chicago that people really said, yes, we must preserve this. Because of course, when they widened Michigan Avenue after World War One, they were like, yeah, we need to get rid of this.
Yeah.
get rid of this. We're going to have lots of cars coming by. Fortunately, we still have it.
Yeah. And it's a very unique looking, you know, like, and especially like right in the middle of all the modern buildings that are all over the place. And that thing, that thing just sticks out in a beautiful way, in a really beautiful way. You know, it's, yeah. I think it's a unique looking building and the history of it is great. And the fact that it's smack dab in the middle of a whole bunch of modern buildings. I love that it sticks out like that. I think it's great.
Yeah. It's at a great crossroads for people watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, going back to the fire again, weather and wooden buildings. A lot of people are saying the weather, it was a very dry weather, and it's lots of wooden buildings. How accurate is that in how the fire spread in that way?
It's pretty much spot on, Nick. You know, for the 3 or 4 months preceding the fire, the city had maybe an inch or so, based on what we understand about kind of weather. You know, weather records from the time, obviously dealing with a severe drought. And of course, if you think about at the time, a lot of the structures, you know, almost 2/3 were made entirely of wood. Buildings, you know, usually had like a tar shingle roof on them. Doesn't help the situation. City sidewalks at the time, we're not dealing with poured concrete, also wood, roadbeds, lots of wood. So in general, kind of perfect storm type of conditions for that scenario. And of course, famously, this is kind of the thing that always kind of imagine, if you think about yourself being there. I guess the closest thing is to go look at the diorama at the Chicago History Museum, is those fire whirls that developed and quite literally moved the fire across the Chicago River, because a lot of people thought, you know, kind of, if you go back and look at journals and diaries, oh, well, the Chicago River is reaching a body of water. How is the fire going to continue? And yet, because of these fire whirls, it did.
And how long did it burn?
Burned almost, you know, kind of about 2 days.
Yeah.
And of course, some of those initial reports were, you know, rather fascinating. If folks are interested, you can look up a lot of the stuff. Some of it's online through the Chicago History Museum website. You get that sense of how concerned people were. One of my favorites is, it's a letter from a fellow named Jonas Hutchinson, who's a lawyer in the loop. And he said, well, wrote his mom the second day of the fire and said, "Dear mother, this has been an eventful day. Last night at about 9:30, a fire broke out here. And from that time to this, it has raged fearfully. We are in ruins." And he goes on to kind of talk about that. So, you know, like I always tell people, and you're probably the same way, you look for those kind of sources where you can, because you don't need to manufacture the drama or the tragedy. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah.
Provided if you're looking at the original, if you can read the elaborate script.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let me ask you this. There was always a rumor or a theory that Schlitz, the beer, from Milwaukee came. They brought a whole bunch of Schlitz beer down to Chicago, as you know, to give the people of Chicago something. Is that true?
Oh, the story about the Schlitz beer.
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting because there's been so many conversations about that over the years. My understanding is that was kind of part of that. And of course, they did in fact send barrels of beer down.
Yeah.
I am by no means expert on that particular aspect, but you know, anything involving kind of, you know, malt and hops does usually interest me.
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm not a drinking man anymore, but when I was, Schlitz was my brand, and
there we go.
Oh yeah, I mean, and so like any stories about Schlitz, and I still, even though I don't drink anymore, I still collect Schlitz memorabilia, you know, and because I love it, I love the logo, and I love. And you know, there's always that aspect of the history of Schlitz being connected to the Chicago Fire, and I always thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, if you think about another kind of great product that is, you know, throughout the upper Midwest and something that endured, maybe not through Prohibition, I mean, yeah, beer is near the top of the list. And I have heard that, and I don't have any other... Wish I had some more salient details on that. I'm by inclination, I'm an old style man. So it'd been even better if it had been Heilman's fully krausenized or whatever it says on the label. But the Schlitz story.
Yeah, it's a great story. But you know, one of the things that's so Chicago. I mean, obviously, old style is you know, part and parcel. It's Chicago. I love the taverns that have the old style signs. You know, like your corner tavern that has the old style sign on that. That's so quintessentially Chicago. You know, hey, thanks for joining me tonight to talk about the Chicago Fire and more. Check out theurbanologist.com. Max, pleasure to talk to you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Nick.
Okay,
man. Well,
take care, buddy. There you go, Max Grinnell, everybody. Theurbanologist.com is his website. We were talking about the anniversary of the Chicago Fire. Okay, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until 5. And, it is a Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Who's got good taste and requested that?
That's coming to us from Jake.
All right, Jake. Nice job. All right. We're back. And if I sound a little weird, I'm struggling here with a little bit of a cold issue. I got the throat thing and the nose thing, and I've been blowing my nose and all kinds of fun activities. So, anyway, I've got this article here from workandmoney.com, and we have a link on our Facebook page if you want to check it out. And you should like our Facebook page and check this out. It's facebook.com/NickDShow. Facebook.com/NickDShow. And it's discontinued products that people desperately want to return. Are there any products out there, Tom, that you miss, that you wish were still being sold?
God. I remember, and it may have been mentioned in that article, but I remember there was this toy I used to play with when I was growing up called the Skip It.
And Skip It?
Yeah. So it was kind of like... a plastic ring that would go around your ankle, and it was attached to a big ball that was on a roller.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just kind of play almost jump rope with yourself.
Right.
Obviously, you could play jump rope with yourself, but you're like rolling it around your own ankle.
Right.
And I used to love it.
I remember that toy.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played. I didn't know it was called a Skip It.
Yeah, I think that's what it was called.
I remember you described it to, you know, I immediately pictured it. Yeah.
That and the sock'em boppers.
Sock'em boppers?
More fun than a pillow fight. The sock'em boppers, they're basically boxing gloves for kids.
Well, they're big, really big, right?
Yeah, yeah. You blow them up,
you
put your hand inside, get ready to have the time of your life.
And they're called what?
Sock'em boppers.
Sock'em boppers.
Yeah. That was also my radio
Skip
name
it
in college.
And sock'em boppers. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff in the 90s.
I remember those. I remember both of those items. the big giant. I bet they still have the. I bet both of those items are probably still out there, right?
I feel like a Skip It more likely than a Sock 'em Bopper, because that was just encouraging you to punch your friends in the face.
Yeah.
Which was immense fun, but, you know.
Yeah.
Not great for for kids of today.
Well, we used to, in the 70s, we would just beat the hell out of each other.
Exactly. Just bare knuckle.
Whack each other with Hot Wheels tracks right across the face. Sock 'em Boppers. Yeah, I remember the commercial. I remember the commercials for that item. And it was kids just punching each other. And they were just big inflatable. It was just a big inflatable thing that you stuck your hand in and then punched somebody in the face with it. Sock 'em Boppers. Well, we've got a whole bunch of discontinued products here that people would love to see returned to the stores. Some of these I remember, some I don't. And what about you guys? Could be any item, food item, a toy, anything. 312-981-7200. And even there are even cars on this list that that have been discontinued. Let's see. Here's Ike on WGN. Go ahead, Ike.
Hey, Nick. How's it going with you, man?
All right.
Yeah, since this whole nostalgic thing is very popular now, with especially 80s stuff, thanks to Stranger Things, there's this one toy I love to come. I love to see come back. It was interesting when he mentioned the Skip It thing. I was thinking I want to see the Pogo balls come back. You remember the Pogo balls?
I do not.
They were like Pogo strings, but you're standing on this ring, and there's a ball in the middle, and you jump on it.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was like a pogo stick, but it was a ball.
Oh, okay. All right. So it was like it had the same effect as a pogo stick. So you're just jumping up and down on it.
With a ball, yes.
Yeah, okay. Pogo ball.
Kind of looks like Saturn. It's like
oh,
a ball
that? Yeah, yeah,
with
yeah,
a
yeah,
ring
yeah.
around it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, now I know what you're talking about. Now I can picture it. All right, Ike, pogo balls. Thanks, man.
No problem.
All right, yeah, pogo balls. That was my radio name in college. Yeah, man, pogo balls. Yeah, I remember those. I remember, now I'm picturing it. Now that you described it to me now, I totally. So that was popular. Was that an 80s thing?
Yeah, I think I would probably say late 80s through most of the 90s. I remember seeing these.
Yeah.
You could still get them, but 80s, I think, was when they debuted.
Okay. All right. Pogo balls. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. If you want to get in here, what products do you miss that you would like to see come back? Like, for instance, the first one mentioned in this article. And by the way, if you want to check out the article full on with pictures and all that cool stuff, it's linked up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. All right. Do you remember Butterfinger BBs?
I think so. Just kind of, they were reminiscent of Butterfinger Bites, which we have now.
They still have, but these were little.
Even, yeah.
Yeah. It was launched in 1992 and discontinued in 2006. And here's how they describe it. Imagine an entire Butterfinger bar shrunk down into little balls. And you have this early 90s delight that was Butterfinger's BBs. Even Bart Simpson loved them. I guess Bart Simpson was the spokesperson. However, BBs were discontinued in 2006. Fans were distraught, leading to the introduction of Butterfinger Bites in 2009. But fans were still distraught because they were completely different. Yeah, the little Butterfinger BBs, I remember those. Those are pretty good. It would be nice to see those come back. But you got the Butterfinger Bites, so I guess people like the Butterfinger Bites.
I love the taste of Butterfingers, but I can't stand what they do to your teeth.
Oh, I know. I can't eat it. I like Butterfinger, too. It's a very tasty.
Awesome.
It's a very, very, very tasty candy bar.
But it just... But
exactly. Oh, yep.
My dentist used to hate me. He told me, you have, like, don't eat Butterfingers.
Yeah.
Just don't.
No, I'm with you 100%. It's a tasty candy bar, but, man, you know, I'm surprised my teeth didn't even get just, like, fall out of my face while I was eating Butterfingers. Let's see. We got some texts coming in. 920 area code says Jarts. Oh, sure. Sure, so you can have a jart stuck in the top of your head. You can get all the things to make jarts. You just can't get them assembled. And I think you have to order them from Canada. And they don't come assembled. You have to assemble them yourself. Because I guess it's like, I don't know, illegal to sell assembled jarts. I would not be surprised if there's... you should check on eBay. See if there's some jarts on eBay.
Am I going to get tracked by the government?
By the government?
We've got a guy trying to bring jarts in.
Yeah. How about Trevor from Antioch says, Cheddar Ranch Fritos flavor twists need to come back. Also, they still make Skip-Its. Oh, so the Skip-Its is still around.
Thank goodness.
If you're interested in jumping up and down. Cheddar Ranch Fritos flavor twists.
That sounds pretty good.
They are good. I've had them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they've still got like the chili ones, like the chili cheese ones.
And there's the flavor twist ones that are different than the regular
like
Fritos.
Those. Apparently, you can get, they're selling jarts on eBay. A lot of these are just the empty box, selling for as much as $89.95. Just for the empty box of jarts.
Wait, what?
I'm not kidding. It's for the vintage ones, for the classic jarts box. $89.95 I'm seeing an offer for.
Come on. $90 for a box?
I'm not kidding. Yeah. $7.51 shipping. $7.51.
That's insane.
Shipping. Yeah. Just for the box.
Who would spend $90 on an empty box?
Someone who's got jarts at home and needs a box.
Jeez.
But you can get the actual jarts, it looks like, for about the same price, $87, $13 shipping. But a lot of these are just the empty box.
I don't understand that at all.
It's shocking.
I don't understand that. What the hell?
They do have some rare Nerf jarts.
Nerf jarts?
Yeah, Nerf jarts. So they're not going to get stuck.
Those are safe, right? Those are safer.
Yeah, safe, soft fun. About $50 from roughly 1994.
Now, I know what those are. You're not going to get... You will not have a jart stuck in your eye or anything like that with a Nerf. Well, but once you... Well, you know, those Nerf darts, though, those can take an eye out.
I've been hit in the eye with a Nerf dart, and it is unpleasant.
Yeah. All right, how about this? Another discontinued product people desperately want to return. That's what we're talking about here. What products are gone that you miss? 312-981-7200. What would you like to see back in stores or back on the shelves or back in the restaurants or food? 312-981-7200. McDonald's fried apple pie. I agree with this. It was launched in 1968, discontinued in 1992. McDonald's stopped frying its super popular apple pies, the first dessert ever served at a fast food restaurant in 1992. The company claimed it was because customers wanted a healthier option. They switched from frying to baking the product, but many disagreed. Luckily, there are various recipes available on YouTube for those who still have a hankering for the Moorish crispy crust. Yeah, the old fried apple pies are great. They're fantastic. And I haven't had a McDonald's apple pie in a really long time, but I know they're baked now. And they just don't taste as good. Because when you fry something, it tastes good.
It just
tastes good when you fry something. I mean...
If we're willing to fry Snickers bars and Twinkies, and they just taste so much better.
Well, yeah, that's the insanity of these state fairs every year. I love it when the state fairs roll around. I always love to listen to Orion talking about going down to the state fair and looking at the horse made out of butter.
And the prize hog.
And the best hog, and then everything is deep fried.
He really loves the one in Sandwich, yeah. Illinois. He lives and dies by that.
Yeah, he does. I miss seeing Orion every morning. I used to see Orion every morning. You know, he used to come in 10 to 5 every morning, and I miss him. That was one of the pleasures of my job was I got to see Orion Samuelson every day. What a class act that guy is, a pro. I love Orion. Yeah, so these deep fried things at the state fair. I mean, it was really funny. They did a bit, you know, just you know, a few weeks. I mean, a couple of months ago, the state fairs were just cranking, and every presidential candidate, like every Democratic presidential candidate, they did a montage of these because they all, you know, anytime there's an election, they all got to go stuff their faces with deep fried crap at a state fair to be amongst the people. It was very interesting to watch Joe Biden eating a corn dog, a giant corn dog. That was pretty interesting.
Elizabeth Warren chomping on some deep fried okra.
Cory Booker is a vegan.
Oh, Cory Booker.
Cory Booker is a vegan, and so he had to have, like, I can't remember what he ate, but he, you know, everything. If you're a vegan and you're going to a state fair, you're not going to eat anything.
You might as well just
forget it.
Not
I mean,
bother.
But I can't remember what he ate, but he did eat something. So, all right, we got a break here, and then we come back. What are some items that don't exist anymore that you miss? Products discontinued that you want to return. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We will be right back.
Well, the train was a whale and a whale right back. Well, Papa left Mama when I was quite young. Said now one of these days she's gonna follow me, son.
Satisfied. So I would like to thank the listener who said that I could have the second twofer request of my choice for Steve Earle, and I chose I Ain't Ever Satisfied, which is a great song. He has many, many, many great songs. Steve
that Earle. Is true.
Hi, everybody. Jeez. Oh, man. you can hear it, man. Ugh. Welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are here. And, hey, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Wow, lots of texts coming in because people miss certain products. And, you know, remember the Ecto Cooler?
Oh, man.
Somebody texted that in.
Yeah, a lot of people, we got a few of them for the Ecto Cooler. A lot of people are really big fans of that.
Well, they brought it back.
They did, yeah, a couple, 3 years ago now.
Well, they brought it back when the female Ghostbusters movie came out, right?
Right, that was 2016, yeah.
So, yeah.
They brought it back. Wasn't as good.
I don't remember, I didn't have it. Well, you know, I mean, they could bring it back now because it's the 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters.
Totally. They could bring it back any time.
Yeah.
I think it would just be fun to have as a flavor.
Yeah. But I remember people going nuts because I worked at the Jewels when that was a popular item.
Height of Ghostbusters craze.
Yeah, I mean I worked there through most of the 80s.
Yeah.
And Ghostbusters obviously was huge, and the Ecto Cooler, and they had Ghostbusters cereal and all that stuff. So, have you seen this new Captain Crunch? I'm sorry, Cap'n Crunch, because technically it's Cap'n Crunch.
It's Cap'n.
It's called cotton candy, like cotton candy flavored Cap'n Crunch.
Oh, jeez,
God.
I've never been a big fan of cotton candy to begin with. I don't need it mixed with my milk.
No. But I don't know.
They also have...
Sounds healthy.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice, nutritious, healthy breakfast for youngsters.
They do have Sour Patch Kids cereal.
No.
I thought it was fake.
They do?
Yep. I was in
the How do you eat that?
I'm not entirely sure. They must be assuming that you're not putting it in a bowl of milk.
Wow.
Sour cereal?
No, that's weird.
Super weird.
All right, here's an item that people want back. Pound puppies. You remember pound puppies?
What's a pound puppy?
Oh, you don't know the pound puppies?
No.
They were launched in 1984, discontinued in 2002. If you weren't bewitched by the hangdog eyes of a pound puppy in the mid to late 80s, you didn't have a heart. Created by Mike Bowling and sold by toy truck brand Tonka, they came in a range of colors and even had their own wardrobes and feline friends if cats with sad faces was more your thing. After disappearing from shelves, after about a decade, pound puppies were revived in 2010's TV animated show, but that was short-lived as well. Good news, though, you can pick up an original pound puppy on eBay. Well, what are they going for? Look up pound puppies, see what they're going for. At least you're going to get something, right? Not a box.
We did have someone text in that the box was so that they could illegally sell you the jarts.
Oh.
They tell you they're just giving you a box.
Okay.
I can see that. I can see that being a tactic.
I bet that is, yeah. No, that sounds... Because, I mean, who the hell is going to pay $90 for an empty box? By the way, my favorite commercial. The pumpkin. I'm sorry what I did to your face. The Kit Kat commercial. I love their commercial, as you know. I never will tire of it. So.
Oh, my God. I do remember these. The pound puppies.
Yeah, the pound puppies. They're very distinctive looking.
I mean, you can get some for as low as about 20 bucks.
$10. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. All right. 217 area code says, back in the 60s and early 70s, Pillsbury made astronaut food sticks, peanut butter or chocolate, chewy sticks wrapped in foil. I ate them all the time. I loved them. The astronaut food sticks. It's what the astronauts ate. They were very, I loved them, but they were really, it was weird because they were like, they were in a foil, like a foil container. They were shaped like Slim Jims. It was like, if you wanted to picture something, it looks like a Slim Jim. Doesn't taste like a Slim Jim. It's not meat. But it looked like a Slim Jim. It was chocolate peanut butter, and they were and I loved them, but some people thought they were disgusting because they were kind of chalky. And I think they still have those, don't they? I mean, I guess maybe if you special order, because there are places where you can get hard to find candies, you know, like old school nostalgia candies that people love. Like you can get candy cigarettes. Yeah, but I remember I ate those things all the time when I was a kid. Space food sticks. I think they were called space food sticks. You ever have those?
No, I have not. These are, what the heck?
Yeah, that's definitely early 70s. That was when I was a kid. Very popular. I ate them all the time.
Did you just want to feel like an astronaut?
No, I just liked the way they tasted. I mean, I thought it was cool. I was like, oh, astronauts eat this. Because that's kind of a niche right there. That's kind of fun. You're eating the same thing that astronauts eat. That's how they advertise Tang.
I remember they used to, I mean, you could get like the astronaut ice cream, freeze-dried ice cream.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. That novelty wears off real quick when you start tasting the stuff.
Well, yeah. As you mean, the chalkiness.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying about the...
Yeah.
The space food sticks. I love them, but they were kind of chalky.
Ready for the harsh vacuum of space.
815 area code says, I still think I have one of the Jart rings that I could sell for like maybe $5.
Go for it.
630 area code says, I wish I could still buy the candy called Necco. They don't make Necco wafers?
No, they must. They still got to make Necco wafers.
You got to make Necco wafers. How else are you going to rip off your toll booth? You know, you can use Necco wafers.
What?
You can use Necco wafers.
Wait, you can. So when you're going through the...
Well, nobody pay. You know, everybody goes automatically through the tolls now.
I know, but that, I mean, you know, leaves an untapped market. Now you can get away with just throwing
Necco. Well, that's what they used to do. I'm not kidding. That was a thing. Necco wafers. People would use Necco wafers in the toll baskets. I'm serious, man. I'm not making it up.
No, I believe you. It's genius.
So
that's genius.
Yeah, because when they did, you know, but I can't believe they don't make, they still make Necco wafers, don't they? Or did they get outlawed because of the toll booth situation? So, all right. We'll find out. All right, discontinued items. What do you miss?
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words saying. Only the echoes of my mind.
All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we're here until 5. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich coming up at 5 with the opening bell, and Steve Cochran is back at 6 for your morning drive. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. It's one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Who requested that?
So that's coming to us from Glenn.
Okay, there you go, Glenn. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Okay, we're talking about discontinued products that people really want to see come back. Items that aren't available anymore that we really miss. And if you would like to jump in, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We got a bunch of text here. Robert says, I really miss the original Dove bars, not the miniature crap that's available today. What's the big Dove bar? 773 area code says, I wish they would bring back the President's Choice line of foods at the Jewels. Yeah, that was a Jewels label. Very popular when I was working at the Jewels. Very, very popular. And they had good products, if I remember correctly. 262 area code says, special export beer, special export dark. Special export. I remember special export.
You can still get special export, but I don't think I've seen special export dark anywhere. That might be the rare one.
Mm. Okay. Jay says, hey, Nick, I miss Ron Santo's ballpark pizza. Yeah.
Ballpark pizza.
Yeah, they sold, Ron Santo's had a brand of pizza that they sold at Wrigley.
Okay.
And you could also, it was also frozen. But yeah, Ron Santo had his own pizza. It was good. I'm sure you can probably Google image it. Lionel Cookies. Yeah, Lionel Cookies. The old Zion, Illinois cookie factory with Fig Newton cookies. I miss Maurice Linnell. Do you remember Maurice Linnell? Are you too young to remember Maurice Linnell?
Was that the logo with the kid in the cookie jar?
Yes.
Yeah, my grandma always kept around cookies from them. I think there was like a Maurice Linnell like store almost.
Oh, there was.
Yeah,
it
right?
was right by the Norwich Theater.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes. That's yeah. the exact one.
It was right by the Norwich Theater.
God,
yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
did that close?
Years ago.
Years. I still remember
you
seeing
it. I used to go in there every time when we'd go to the Axle. Or to the, it used to be called the Hub before it became the Axle. Now it's that crazy pizza place with the,
yeah,
the crazy pizza place where fights break out all the
yeah.
time.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, no, I would go to Maurice Linnell all the time, man. And you can go in there and they would have like, the damaged cookies, like the ones that were like,
yep.
and you can get them for like 50 cents or something.
That would always be my treat when I was growing up.
Do you remember what some of the flavors? Okay,
oh,
there was the
God.
how about the swirly one? That was my favorite. It was like chocolate and it had it was shaped like it was round. It was shaped like it had a swirl in it.
Yeah,
that was my favorite.
Did they also make wafers like the wafer cookies?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah,
they made some of those. I always really
there was
liked
always
those.
You get the Maurice Linnell variety pack.
Yeah.
You get like they would come in like little. It looked they would come in like little cupcake holders.
Yep,
and that was the big one we always get. And there was always the one with like it was like a sort of a kind of a vanilla. It was like shaped like a star. It was vanilla, but it had a cherry in the middle.
Yep, because like, I remember that because it was a little bit like British biscuits because of the cherry in the middle.
Right, and the cherry was really chewy.
Yeah. Oh,
it would stick
God.
To your teeth. Yeah.
My God, I have not thought about that in a very long time.
Yeah, Maurice Linnell, man, they were great. And it smelled really good, too. Like, every time we would go to see a movie at the Norwich, as we were walking, if we were walking down Harlem to go to the Norwich, because I hung out at the Hip a lot when I was in high school because I went to Luther North, which was, you know, like Irving and Austin. And so the Norwich was, you know, that was the theater we went to all the time. We used to hang out at the Hip. And you could smell Maurice Linnell from like three blocks away. It smelled so good. Yeah, those swirly ones. I like this. Those were my favorite. 708 area code says, the empty box is a way of selling them without breaking the law. It's a lie. Okay, for the jarts.
Yeah.
Canadian Bill says, back in the 80s, there was a drink called Orbitz. It had little tapioca balls suspended in a thick liquid. Brought you by the makers of Clearly Canadian. That's a thing now, right? Like, people get tea and they got balls in the bottom of the tea?
Well, yeah, it's...
what the hell is that? What is that? I see people drink that.
It's bubble tea. So it's I don't know the exact origin. I want to say it's Chinese or Japanese, but it's like you can get, like, tapioca.
Yeah.
It's like milk tea. You can get, like, this milk tea and it's got, like, little balls of tapioca in it. Or I've had it with, like, little balls of, like, kind of coffee-flavored kind of jelly. They've got all sorts of different flavors. It's really good.
Yeah, I see people drinking it.
Yeah, it's super good. You'd be shocked, because I was not about it. I didn't want to suck up weird balls of tapioca.
No. But you get stuck in a straw?
No, they give you really big straws.
Okay.
Like the size of an artery.
Ryan in Wisconsin says, puffy bacon Cheetos. They were out for a short time in the mid-80s. I do not remember that, but that sounds good.
That's a flavor.
Puffy bacon Cheetos? Oh, man. Here's David on WGN. Hi, David.
Good morning to all of you folks out there, and good morning, Nick.
Yeah.
Always enjoy your show. I've called in before. But I have a question. Do you all remember, or does anybody ever had a Choco Light?
Oh, yeah, that was one of my favorite candy bars.
What about Mallow Cup? That was another one that was out in the 70s.
I think Mallow Cups are still around.
How about Forever Yours? You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was kind of like a cross between a Three Musketeers bar and a Milky Way bar,
yeah.
but only better than both of those candy bars.
The Choco Light was one of my favorite candy bars. That was one, and I think you can get a variation on it. It's called Aero bar, A-E-R-O, which is very, very, very similar to a Choco Light. It's pretty much almost exactly like a Choco Light. And it's got that consistency, like when you bite into it or you break it in half, it looks like a sponge. That's what Choco Light would look like. If you would break a piece of the Choco Light off, it would look like a sponge with a bunch of little holes in it. And it had that kind of consistency. But this Aero bar, A-E-R-O, that's almost exactly like a Choco Light. So, David, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Those Aero bars are incredibly popular in the UK.
Yeah, no, I know. They're real popular, and they're good. I mean, and that's
super good.
That's what a Choco Light was. That's what Choco Light was. It was that sponge consistency, like you break it and it looks like a sponge. But that's pretty much what it is. All right, here's another item that the people want back. Rimmel London's London Glam Perfume. Launched in 2003, discontinued in the mid-aughts. It was advertised by Kate Moss, which was enough to make millions of young girls want to douse themselves in Rimmel London's London Glam perfume. Does anybody remember that? No memory of that whatsoever. They just wanted to smell like Kate, even if the result was a bit like shampoo. Moss launched her own fragrance in 2007, a few years after London Glam was nothing but a fond soapy memory. I do not remember London Glam perfume. All right. Hershey's Kissables. You remember Hershey's Kissables?
I think so. They were like candy-coated kisses.
Is that right?
Because they're multicolored.
Right.
And if I remember correctly, they were a little bit like M&Ms.
Oh, they were like M&Ms. Oh,
yeah,
right.
But they were kisses. They were Hershey's Kisses.
Right. Launched in 2005, discontinued in 2009. People loved them. Hershey's Kissables, colorful chocolate bites covered in chocolate like M&Ms, but in a funkier shape. They were launched in 2005. Unfortunately, they failed to set the world on fire and were discontinued in 2009 due to lack of sales. I've never had those. I've never had any of them. But it just seems like an M&M.
Yeah,
just a bigger M&M.
Yeah, I thought the chocolate tasted a little bit better because I like Hershey's chocolate a little bit more than M&M's chocolate. But
well, Hershey's is great chocolate.
Yeah, awesome chocolate.
312 area code says sometimes I miss having a Motorola numeric pager.
Don't talk to me about pagers. My dad made motor. He worked for Motorola and he carried one of those pagers.
I know. You've talked about it before.
Mm.
815 area code says hot dog gum and Razzles. Yeah, the cinnamon. It looked like a hot dog, and it tastes like cinnamon, which I always found kind of strange. It was a cinnamon flavored gum shaped like a hot dog. Because, you know, when I think hot dogs, I think cinnamon. Razzles. I don't think they still make Razzles, right? Yeah, I think they still make it Razzles. We can look that up. Joliet Mike says Kraft used to make a cheese powder that came in a thin orange can and was usually sold right next to the green can of Parmesan cheese. I think they brought it back a different version, but it was not as good. I remember that. Hey, Nick, I don't know if you remember a candy bar called Twin Bing. Twin Bing? Kind of looked like two piles of dog poop with a creamy pink filling that tasted excellent. Also, Joe Rogan thinks the Joker is a masterpiece. Yeah, I always trust Joe Rogan. I always trust Joe Rogan's opinion.
He also takes like DMT 5 times a day.
Yeah. No. I trust Joe Rogan.
I think he's a funny guy, but
you know. Yeah. No, you always when you want solid advice about anything, you go to the host of Fear Factor. That's what you do.
Although I will say their description of the Twin Bing is incredibly accurate. It does look like dog poop.
That sounds fantastic.
With a weird pink middle.
Why?
You can get a 36-piece box of Twin Bing candy for $45.
$45?
I mean, you get 36 of them.
Jeez. You sure they're not going to send an empty box?
They might.
How about this? People miss the Game Boy.
The original Game Boy, yeah.
Launched in 1989, discontinued in 2003. After the first Game Boy was released in Japan in April of 89... It was unleashed in the U.S. a few months later. The world of gaming was never the same again. You could finally play your favorite video games outside of your bedroom. The earliest iterations of the Game Boy were discontinued in the early 2000s, and although the Nintendo DS followed in 2004, those 8-bit Game Boy graphics are unbeatable in terms of retro appeal. Yeah, the Game Boy. Everybody's got a very, very fancy Game Boy in their pocket. It's called a phone. All right. Here's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Yeah, the restaurant I miss is Rax. R-A-X.
Oh, yeah, Rose yeah. Beef. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, they were twice as good as Arby's and a lot more affordable.
Yeah.
They were excellent. They're gone.
I remember Rax. I do remember Rax. Yep, absolutely.
And you guys were talking about those cookies. I was telling Tom that I've seen them at Christmas, and I don't know what they're called. I think Danish or something, but they come in a big tin, and they got the chocolate and white swirled ones and the ones with the chewy cherries on top, too.
Yeah. Are they still? Are they Maurice Linnell? Is it the same company?
I don't know because I can't remember because I've only seen them at Christmas time.
Right.
But it sure sounds exactly like it because, yep. You know, it's the brown swirl and...
Right, yeah.
Those are
great
star
cookies.
Cluster.
I'll have to look...
The star cluster with the cherry on top.
Yeah, I'll have to look for those when the holidays come around. So, All right, Rich, thanks.
Have a good one.
Take care. Rax roast beef, I remember that. All right, let's take a break here and we'll come back. We're talking about discontinued items that we all miss, products that we would love to see come back. Text, call us, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200.
nut and call me in the morning.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. We are talking about products and items that are no longer available that we would love to see come back. Discontinued products that we miss. And we want to hear from you, 312-981-7200. For talk and text, 312-981-7200. Hey, by the way, Sigourney Weaver's birthday today. How old do you think?
Oh, man. I'm going to say 68.
70.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Look at her.
I was surprised. I was surprised. I thought she was younger.
Yeah. Yeah. No. She's ageless.
Well, she rules. How about Jell-O 1-2-3? Do you remember Jell-O 1-2-3? Launched in 1969, discontinued in 1996. It's gelatin with two toppings. It doesn't sound like the most appealing of desserts, but there was something about Jell-O 1-2-3 that people loved, not least moms and dads who wanted to look like they knew what they were doing in the kitchen. It was a mainstay in U.S. kitchens, presumably, when people realized that the steps involved in getting the Jell-O to separate into three distinct layers was pretty time-consuming. So it's layered. You got your Jell-O layered.
Okay. That sounds pretty good.
It was good. I thought it was tasty. And it was popular. It was really popular for a time. But yeah, it was very distinctive looking. It had that layered look to it.
Do they still do, is Jell-O eggs still a thing? I haven't had a, like...
Jell-O eggs?
Yeah, where for, like, Easter, you make, it's like a mold. Like, you make Jell-O eggs.
No, I've never done that.
You've never done that? Make no. Jell-O eggs?
No.
Oh, we used to do that every Easter. We'd make Jell-O molded, like, molded
so they
Jell-O
have,
eggs.
So they have Jell-O molds shaped like an egg?
Mm-hmm. And you just Jell-O and make those. They were so good, too.
I've never...
Because you could just kind of like slurp them up.
No, I've never, never had Jell-O eggs before. All right, the people want Ralph Lauren's tuxedo perfume to come back. Launched in 1979, discontinued in the 90s, introduced in 1979 as, quote, the evening fragrance for a true femme fatale. And discontinued in the 90s, the demand for Ralph Lauren's tuxedo perfume is huge. It's currently not even available on sale from eBay, although you can buy an empty collectible bottle for $49. And people are buying empty bottles of perfume for $50. I don't remember... But I'll tell you what, though, an evening fragrance for a true femme fatale. So when the ladies go out to murder people, they're going to smell good. How about this? Hostess Choco Bliss. Oh, my God. Tom, have you seen these things?
Choco Bliss.
Just do a Google image search. You're not going to believe. I mean, you just one bite of this stuff and you're going to gain 50 pounds. Hostess Choco Bliss.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It was launched in the 80s and discontinued in the 80s. Gone but not forgotten, Hostess Choco Bliss was a chocolate lover's dream. You can try to make your own, but it'll probably won't be as creamy or as messy as the original. There's a 1986 Choco Bliss commercial on YouTube. Hey, find the 1986 Choco Bliss commercial. Yeah, but this was a lot of chocolate. I remember these things. And, I mean, there was a lot of chocolate. You had, like, three layers of chocolate frosting and, like, two layers of really moist dark chocolate cake. Do we have a little sound bite here?
Chocolate lovers, watch out for new Choco Bliss.
Oh, what a sweet sensation. Oh, Hostess, what you do to me? New Choco Bliss, a chocolatey creation. Three layers make it so chocolatey. Moist chocolatey cake, whipped
chocolatey feeling, two chocolatey icing so smooth. Choco Bliss, a dream come true. One, two, three, I'm relaxed to see. New Choco Bliss from Hostess. Watch out.
Watch out? That's the tagline?
Watch out.
New Choco Bliss from Hostess. Watch out. What the hell is that? That's a lot of chocolate, though. I mean, you've seen that thing. It's just ridiculous.
That's insane.
It's like you look at it and you gain weight.
Watch out.
Watch out. That's going to get you to buy that product.
I always buy my products out of abject fear.
Yeah. Watch out. Greg H. says, I miss Yoho potato chips. I haven't seen them in ages. They don't have Yoho potato chips? Come on now. They got to have Yoho potato chips. Those are good. Yoho potato chips were good. All right. We got a ton of texts coming in. If you guys want to jump in here, we are talking about products that no longer exist that we miss. They've been discontinued. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk or text. Okay, we'll take a quick break here, and then the news is coming up right after this.
Does she walk? Does she talk? Does she come complete? My home.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live every weekday morning between 1 and 5 a.m. We're in the Skyline studio here. Steve Grzanich follows at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive right here on 720 WGN. And we're having some fun here this morning. And we're talking about discontinued items and products that we miss, that we want to see come back, including Hostess Choco Bliss. Watch out. we got a bunch of texts coming in. We want to hear from you guys here. So it's 312-981-7200. What about this? Urban Decay Naked Palette. Launched in 2010, discontinued in 2018. Urban Decay caused a stir in 2018 when it announced it would no longer make its best-selling Naked Palette, a collection of 12 eyeshadow colors that included both warm and neutral shades. The devastation is palpable, wrote L. This wasn't an exaggeration. There was even a funeral in California with a eulogy by Nicole Richie. What? For eyeshadow?
Must have been pretty good eyeshadow.
Fantastic eyeshadow.
I wonder how that eulogy would have went.
What, Nicole Richie? Oh, God. 847 area code. And guys, you want to send in your text and give us a call with your items that you miss terribly. 847 area code says Canfield's Swiss cream soda was the best. And that's not around anymore either. 301 area code says I miss cheese tidbits and Fudgetown cookies and Mr. Chips cookies. Mr. Chips cookies. Cheese tidbits, would that be like what's that cheese cracker that everybody likes? The little
Cheez-Its?
Yeah, Cheez-Its, right?
These are they're like long, you know, they're not square.
Oh, they're not like little crackers?
Yeah, they're Nabisco, and I think Nabisco also puts out Cheez-Its, but the cheese tidbits are kind of long crackers.
Oh, okay. Cheese tidbits. 630 area code says, I used to love the Reggie bar. And looked like the old Bun bar. You remember Bun? The candy bar?
No.
You don't remember Bun?
What's a Bun bar?
It's a candy bar. Bun. Google it. Yeah, Bun. I always thought it had a weird name.
Oh, okay. I think I've seen candy bars like this.
Yeah.
Where it's not as much a bar as it is a mound.
Right. 765 area code says, I miss Dolly Madison fruit pies. They were much better than Hostess. Well, here's the thing. I liked Hostess fruit pies better than Dolly Madison. But here's the thing about the Hostess fruit pies. Now there's hardly any fruit in them. You bite into them and air leaks out. It's like, psh. They used to be loaded with fruit. They would be loaded with apples and, you know. But now, I'm serious, you bite into it, half of it's empty. It's nothing there. You know, there used to be an outlet store on Roscoe, in Chicago, on Roscoe. Yeah, it was on Roscoe. I'm almost positive it was on Roscoe. And I can't remember whether it was a Dolly Madison or whether it was a Hostess outlet. I think it was Dolly Madison. And you can go in there and get all those sweet things for cheap. But yeah, no, those were that was a place. It was right on Roscoe. Right across the street from a hot dog place called Mangevin's. Anybody remember Mangevin's? It was a hot dog place, and then right across the street from there, on the same side of the street, but across from them, was this Dolly Madison outlet store where you can go and buy, like, tons of Dolly Madison stuff for cheap and then go get an Italian beef across the street at Mangevin's. We used to go there all the time. Let's see. Here's Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How are you doing?
All right. What's up?
Hey, you were just talking about the bun bars?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, on Bozo Circus, they used to give them away to everybody as soon as they leave it.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Bozo Circus would give away the bun bar to everybody.
Right.
Like when you were playing the grand prize game, that was one of the prizes?
No, I think it's... as a token gift as you were leaving.
Oh.
Everybody a bun bar.
Wow. All right. The bun bar associated with Bozo.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Enjoy the show.
Thanks, buddy. Everybody gets a bun bar. Excuse me. Yeah.
Take this mound of chocolate and nuts.
Yeah. Hey, look what's in the article. Skip it.
Nice. The Skip It.
Launched in the 80s, discontinued in 2009, so it's not around. One of the hottest toys of the 90s, thanks to a makeover and a backing of Nickelodeon. Parents liked Skip It's almost as much as kids. At least they got them moving. But the winning simplicity of the overall design, you put the loop over one ankle and then swing it around your feet in circles, hopping over it with the other leg. There was the reverse rave skip it game. It just didn't compare. Do you remember the reverse rave skip it game?
I think it was like branded as a spinoff of Twister for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, no, I remember it having Twister branding, but it was a skip it, and there was like music would play or something like that.
Well, they do. I mean, Twister's name is in here. It's the Twister rave spin it game.
Yeah, I think that was past when I would have been playing with a Skip It anyway.
The Twister Rave Skip It game. They say it just didn't compare to a regular Skip It.
Nah, you just need the old Skip It. Or the sit and spin.
Oh, man.
Try to make yourself sick on
the
sit and
spin. Yeah, that's all it is. Kids vomiting all over the place because they're spinning around in a circle. Sit and spin. I always thought that was one of the stupidest things. I remember a friend of mine had it. I didn't have one. I never had a sit and spin. A friend of mine had it, and we used to get on there and just get dizzy. Just make yourself dizzy. That's what you want. You want a dizzy 7-year-old.
Yeah, it's kind of like drugs for 7-year-olds. Just get real dizzy.
Real dizzy. And then jump and then try and do a skip it, and you're going to fall down the stairs and kill yourself. How about PB Crisps? PB Crisps. They were launched in the mid-90s, and they were discontinued in the mid-90s. The mid-90s snack food PB Crisps, bite-sized snacks with a cookie coating on the outside and creamy peanut butter on the inside, were amazing with a cold glass of milk. Why on earth would you discontinue these, wrote the fanatic, who surely deserves the accolade of being the biggest PB Crisps fan in the world. Or at least the most dedicated. He has a whole website and several social media pages dedicated to the snack. So PB Crisp, obviously, clearly, peanut butter crisps. That's what the PB is for. How about this? McDonald's onion nuggets. McDonald's onion nuggets. It was launched in the 70s, discontinued in 1979. Introduced in the 70s, McDonald's onion nuggets were replaced by their chicken McNuggets, leaving lots of customers protesting that there was more than enough room on the menu for two types of nuggets. People have said that they were like onion rings, but easier to eat. And who would be opposed to that, one person wrote, who launched a petition to bring the onion nuggets back. That sounds good. I'd eat that.
The onion nugget.
Well, that sounds good. I love onion rings.
I do, but I agree with the hard to eat at times.
What, onion rings?
Yeah. Because like sometimes you bite into it and then
and the
like,
onion slides out.
Yeah, and it's so much hotter than the fried part.
Yeah.
So the onion nugget seems to be the ultimate nugget.
The thing about the onion nugget sounds good. I would eat that.
It's too bad they treat it like Highlander. It can be only one.
Uh-huh. How is a chicken nugget a replacement for an onion nugget? Well, how is it the same? It's a chicken nugget, and the other one is an onion nugget. Those are two entirely different foods.
Yeah, you don't try to get an onion nugget, and if they don't have onion nuggets, well, I'm just going to have chicken.
Yeah. That's not a substitute.
Hey, can I have onion on my burger? Oh, we're out of onions. Just pile some chicken on it.
Put some chicken on it.
Same thing.
I don't understand that. That's not a proper replacement. We're going to replace the onion nuggets with chicken nuggets. Is that the most popular? Are chicken nuggets the most popular food on kids' menus? It's got to be, right?
Yeah, some variation of the chicken nugget. Chicken tender.
Yeah.
Chicken
fingers.
Strips, whatever you want to call it. It's got to be. That and mac and cheese.
Yeah, you get mac and cheese and you get your chicken nuggets.
Yeah. And literally any restaurant can make it.
Yeah.
Kids love it no matter what.
Keeps them busy for a while. Then you can play skip it.
Burn those calories,
Burn
kids.
Burn the calories because you're eating onion nuggets.
And then watch out.
Watch out.
It's the Choco Bliss.
Could you imagine like trying to advertise onion nuggets to a kid? The kid would be like, no. That sounds like the most, it sounds great to me. But try to get a kid to eat an onion nugget. That's not going to happen, even if it's nugget shaped. And I know kids happen to have an affinity for things that are shaped like nuggets. But I don't think an onion nugget is going to work with a 7-year-old.
No, not unless they have a very developed. You'd eat an onion nugget. You weren't a picky eater, right?
No, I wasn't a picky eater at all.
You'd be eating up the onion nuggets.
I would eat onion nuggets when I was a kid, sure. I ate everything. No, my parents had no difficulty feeding me when I was a kid. No difficulty getting my vegetables, getting me to eat my vegetables, none whatsoever.
They would have just fed you an onion. They don't even need to make it a nugget.
Doesn't matter. Be like George Costanza eating the onion like an apple. I don't know what's going on. You're eating onions? You're spotting dimes? I don't know what the hell's happening. That's when he's got to wear his swimming goggles. Because somebody stole his glasses. That's also the one where he gets the frames that are Gloria Vanderbilt frames, and Kramer goes, he's eating pretzels, George is eating pretzels, and Kramer goes, "Can I have one, ma'am?" All right, we got a break here for some weather. Another delightful day. Oh, that's what it says right here. Another delightful early fall day with abundant sunshine today and unlimited visibilities. Going to high in the low 70s, but low 60s at the lakeshore. And tonight it's going to be 50 degrees downtown and around 40s in the mid 40s outlying in inland areas. For tomorrow, the fall weather bonanza continues. A third day, sunny and mild, with highs peaking about 5 degrees above seasonable norms. For Thursday, mostly sunny, but clouds will increase and will be up to the low to mid 70s. Clouds will gather at night and a chance for showers late. For Friday, mostly cloudy, windy, with clusters of showers and gusty thunderstorms. The highs will approach 70 degrees before turning much colder late. And for Saturday, sharply colder with gusty west winds. Highs will struggle to reach 50 degrees in most areas. Some afternoon sun will come out, and it'll be chilly overnight with near freezing inland to 40 downtown. It's currently 47 degrees at O'Hare. It's 50 at Midway, 54 at the lakefront. Okay, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. What items, what products do you miss that no longer exist? 312-981-7200. Totally forgot about this song. Is it Jake Hiles? Who requested this?
This is Ike.
Of course it is. Fright Night.
Eat your heart out, Thriller.
I totally forgot that that was in the movie. I totally forgot about that. How's it going, everybody? Nick DiGilio here. Here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. And the news is next in a couple of minutes from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Great. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And we are talking about items that no longer exist, products that that have been discontinued that we want to see come back, and we miss them. 312-981-7200. Here's some texts. 815 area code says, I miss the cereal Quisp. It was always my favorite, but it has not been on the market for years. Now you can buy it only directly from Quaker online, but it's like $10 for a small box. I used to love Quisp. Yeah, I remember when they took Quisp. I don't understand why they, because Quisp was a very popular cereal. Not sure why they took it off the market, because it was very popular. It sold well, but now you can only get it online. That's inconvenient. 608 area code says, Oscar Mayer sandwich spread. Basically a chopped bologna salad. Great on Ritz crackers. I would eat that. I'd eat that
bologna
all,
spread.
I'd eat that all week. I've had the sandwich spread. It's good. You like liver sausage?
Well, now I do. After that was chicken liver, actually. That liver pate, I was great.
Yeah,
I had never really eaten any sort of liver before. That was great.
I'm a fan of, you can call it what you want, but I love liver sausage. Love it. Box of crackers, butter knife, some liver sausage, and I'm sitting in front of the TV for about a month. 815 area code says, I miss the shakes McDonald's had in the 70s, and then they mysteriously changed the formula. They don't taste the same. Man, I have not had a milkshake. I can't remember the last time I've had a shake. I can't even remember the last time I had a shake. How about 815 area code says, speaking of Jell-O, how about Puddin' Pops?
Jell-O Puddin' Pops. Jell-O Puddin' Pops, you see?
Yeah, those were really popular too. Those things were really, really popular. Let's see. Here's James on WGN. Hi, James.
Morning, Nick. How are you this morning?
All right. What's up?
I remember back in the 80s. I'm an 80s baby, so back in the 80s, I don't know if it was just in the Chicagoland area, but Hostess made every October. It was just for the month of October. They would make a banana Susie Q.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
And the crazy thing about it is, if you didn't have a chaser, you would choke to death. You would have to have milk or water.
Yeah. No, I remember those. Yeah, and it's interesting that they would have those come out in October.
Yeah, it would just be for the month, for some reason, for the month of October.
Yeah.
But I missed those things so much.
Yeah, the banana.
And some milk were awesome.
Absolutely,
hey,
yeah.
Real quick, I remember I heard you guys earlier talking about the Skippy. The Skippy was an updated version. You remember back in the 70s, the lemon twist? That was the same thing, but it had a lemon on the end.
Oh,
it had a lemon on the end.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. But that was back in the 70s. And the Skippy was an updated version of the lemon twist.
Right. Okay, the lemon twist. You got the lemon on the end. That makes sense. All right, James. Thanks, man.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Banana Susie Q. Banana flavored Susie Q. Oh man. Area code says, I'd like to see the original energy drink big old can of whoop ass from Jones Soda come back. That Jones Soda Company, they do a lot of crazy flavored flavored pop. Like they have of course we're coming up on the holidays here, and of course they have the Thanksgiving dinner flavored pop. Which I've tried. There's the turkey flavored. There's the mashed potato flavor. Cranberry's, fine. The other ones are very weird. 248 area code says, hey, Nick, from Detroit, I miss 8 o'clock Colombian coffee from the A&P in the dark brown bag. Also, Drake's Ding Dongs in the foil wrapper.
I didn't realize he sold them in a foil wrapper.
Yeah, Drake's Ding Dongs. 414 area code says, the soda I miss that would like to come back is Pepsi Blue. It was like a blueberry cola from 2002 to 2004. Oh. Okay, here's Sam on WGN. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right, what's up?
Okay, I don't know if you ever remember Wimpy Hamburgers.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, where are they at? I miss them real bad. And they had a great shake over there. Okay?
They've been gone for, Wimpy's Burgers have been gone for years, forever. I remember there was one right by Wrigley Field. There was a Wimpy's Burger place right by Wrigley Field that's like Sheffield. Yeah. Tom, you know where Nisei Lounge is?
Yeah.
It was right across the street from Nisei Lounge. It used to be a bagel place. Einstein's. It was Einstein's
kind
Bagels.
Kind of run down looking or what? I mean.
The Einstein's Bagels, that's where Wimpy's used to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Einstein's Bagels.
Well, you want to know what's really strange? Sam, if you want to make a trip over to South Africa, they're still going strong with over 500 Wimpy's
hamburgers in
South Africa.
In South Africa.
Yeah, that's reported by WTTW, Channel 11.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
We'll have to get Charlize Theron to go.
Yeah, Charlize, come on by. Bring us a Wimpy's if you can.
Come on, Furiosa. Bring over some Wimpy.
After we declare your movie the best of the decade.
Come on. Yeah. So, all right. Let's take a break. We got the news coming up. And then we're going to talk about Sammy. Thank you very much for the phone call. And yes, I do remember. I used to love Wimpy's Burgers. Used to love them. And Wimpy, I'll gladly pay you on Tuesday. You won't pay me, Wimpy.
You know who at this station loves to say that?
Who?
Dave Schwann. Say that to me like at least every week.
Yes, okay. I don't even know what to say to that. All right, let's take a break. The news is coming up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live, and we are in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6. We're talking about items and products that have been discontinued that we can't get anymore that we miss. And some people really, really miss a lot of these things. Like, for instance, 773 area code. By the way, jump in here with your talk or your text at 312-981-7200. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, maybe for Tuesday. Who requested the U2?
That's coming to us from Paulina in Woodstock.
All right. There you go. 773 area code says, I wish the Sizzler restaurants would come back. Do you remember White Men Can't Jump?
Oh, yeah.
Kadeem Hardinson?
Going to Sizzler. Going to Sizzler.
It's one of my favorite moments in film history. I think you can actually find that. Could you find the sound there? It's Kadeem Hardinson.
Going to Sizzler. Sizzler.
Yeah, man. I used to like Sizzler. They used to have Ponderosa, too. It was Ponderosa and Sizzler. Yeah.
Sizzler.
Here we go.
We go with Sizzler. We go with Sizzler.
I love that movie. Oh, man. Yeah, there used to be Ponderosa. Ponderosa, Sizzler. And a girl I dated, Leslie Presley, she used to call it Pondy. She loved Ponderosa. She'd be like, let's go to Pondy. I'm like, all right, let's go to Pondy. Um, 815 area code says, I miss Jewel generic tea. White label with a green stripe on the bottom. It just said iced tea. Yeah, that's the famous generic items. That used to be, that was aisle one in my old store, in the old store on Southport. Aisle one, it was all the generic items. Pain in the neck stocking that aisle. But yeah, the old generic. So, you know, there used to be another one of those kind of like steakhouse places. The casual like steakhouse cafeteria style, because you get your tray and you go in. There used to be a place right by Lane Tech, right before the bridge,
mm-hmm.
near California.
Yeah.
Right by our buddies, our sister station over there, Bradley Place, the Legion. Anyway, it was called The Forge. This is in the 70s, man. It was called The Forge. And it was it was Sizzler Ponderosa kind of place. But I don't know if it was a chain or not. But it was right across the street from the football field, the Lane Tech football field. The Forge. We used to go there a lot, my folks and I.
I think it is worth mentioning that the Sizzler's still out there.
Not here, though.
Not here. It's a shame. You got to travel to go to the Sizzler.
Man, going to Sizzler. I enjoy Sizzler. Hey, Sven Gulli's going to be at Fantasy Costumes.
Oh, nice.
This week.
He's the king of the costume.
Yeah, well, Fantasy Costumes, that place is fantastic. You know, this is a busy time of year. We should get Rich on. Can we get Rich on? Just so he can tell us about all this, because he's busy this time of year. All kinds of appearances. So maybe we can get him on some point this week. All right. Here are some more items that people miss. The VW Type 2, which was launched in 1950 and discontinued in 2013. Although the VW Type 2 minibus is technically still in production today, it's quite a different vehicle from the classic hippie bus of the 60s. The original minibus was produced in Brazil until 2013, when new legislation required all vehicles to be fitted with airbags and anti-lock brakes. Volkswagen was able to implement this in the Type 2, so it was farewell to the ultimate road trip companion. I think we talked about that with Tom Appel at some point. The old classic VW Type 2 minibus.
I always idolized those things.
Those were all, they were everywhere. How about this? The Body Shop perfume oil. Launched in the 90s and discontinued in the 90s. If you're lucky, you'll find the Body Shop perfume oil on eBay. But nothing compares to the experience of going into the store and testing a million different oils on the inside of your wrist before deciding which one to spend your pocket money on. A standard Saturday afternoon for a teenage girl in the 90s was deliberating between Fuzzy Peach and Dewberry. Body Shop not around anymore?
I think, is it
They're
not?
Still in malls, right? Aren't they?
These, well, there it's used been a to while be, since I've had to go into one.
There used to be one in the right when you walk into the Century on Clark and Diversey. Was that a Body Shop, or was it because there's another similar store?
No, they definitely exist. Yeah, there's a Body Shop, you know, a few blocks from here.
Yeah. So I thought they were still around. But I guess you can't get the Body Shop perfume oil.
No.
Oh, man. That's upsetting to everyone.
What am I going to do?
Watch out. The Body Shop was like right there, you know, in the Century Mall. There on Clark and Diversey. Whenever I'd go to the Landmark, the theater, you'd have to wait for the elevator right in front of the Body Shop. And you could smell, like, the Body Shop had that smell. Not an unpleasant smell. In fact, a pleasant smell. But you could smell it, like, as soon as you walk in.
Just a front.
Yeah.
I can't handle any, like, perfume or any sort of shops like that.
No.
Or walking through, you know, when you go into Macy's and you just walk in, it's just, you get into the perfume section. Yeah. It hurts. It drives me insane.
Well, I used to have a friend who worked at the Body Shop, and she was part of the Factory Theater Company. And whenever she gave gifts, it was always Body Shop stuff. Always. Because obviously, you know, she worked there, she can get a discount, I think. So she, and the products were good.
Get a little tea tree oil here and there.
Yeah, I mean, she would not get me a lot of Body Shop stuff. Like my ex-wife, she would get stuff for her, you know.
And feel left out?
I would smell it in the apartment. Did I feel left out because I didn't have any Body Shop stuff?
Yeah,
no.
You know, lather your skin and things of that nature.
No, we did have like shampoo and stuff like that, so I did use it.
Yeah.
So. How about this? Frank and Stuff Wieners. Frank and Stuff Wieners. Launched in 1986, discontinued in the 90s. What makes a hot dog better? A chili or cheese filling, of course. That's where Frank and Stuff Wieners comes from, which weren't on sale for long, but were the highlight of a hot dog lover's snack time. Unless the piping hot filling gave your mouth and throat third-degree burns. That sounds pleasant. I had those. I remember those. Get a hot dog, stuff it with chili. I enjoy that. I like a good chili dog. You know where I have fantastic chili dogs? Portillo's. I mean, that kind of goes without saying, but I'm particularly a big fan of the chili dog because I don't know how they do it, and at every location, it's always consistent, and I don't know how they do it, but they've got the exact right amount of chili on the hot dog. So you'll have chili, you got some onions, and you got some cheese. That's what they put on the chili dog. Perfect amount of chili. Does not fall off. You know how you eat a chili dog and sometimes it's too much chili. It's flying all over the place. You got to use a spoon to eat it.
Does it get the bun too soggy?
No.
No?
I'm telling you right now, it is a perfectly constructed chili dog. Every single time I've had a chili dog at Portillo's, no matter the location, always a perfectly constructed chili dog. Never too little chili, never too much chili. Doesn't fly all over the place. You don't get chili all over your head. You know?
Was that a problem for you before?
Very much.
Oh, sorry. Why do you have chili on your head? Oh, I was just at Portillo's.
I was eating a chili dog. I was at Susie's, and I was eating a chili dog.
Smothered.
Yeah. Susie's. That place, have you ever been to Susie's?
No, where's Susie?
What?
Well, oh, easy.
You've never been to Susie's?
I don't think so.
Oh, come on, man. It's on Elston, near Montrose. No, Pulaski. Elston near Pulaski. And I think it's on, yeah. It's right around, I live right there. It's right in my neighborhood. And they're open late. And they've got all kinds of foods. That's Susie's on Elston. Is that right? Is it on Elston? S-U-Z-Y, apostrophe S, Susie's.
Let's see here.
Yeah. There's probably people listening right now who are there in their car eating chili dogs at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So, I think this is one. Is it a drive through?
Yeah.
Yeah. 4126 West Montrose.
Oh, it's Montrose. Montrose near Elston.
Yeah.
Place rules. You got to go to Susie's, man.
I know. Well, the problem is that I don't have a car.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to have a car to go there.
Will they let me just walk through? Oh,
yeah, you can walk up.
Oh, they. Just
it's a place of business. I don't know if you know that or not.
That's not what I mean. some places are, you know, some it might just be drive through.
No, you
only.
Can walk in. They have like little tables and stuff outside. You can sit down.
Okay,
place is great. It's also open very late.
Noted.
Yeah. So they have good chili dogs there. Not quite as good as Portillo's, but they do have good chili dogs. Okay, let's break for the weather here, and then we'll come back. We're talking about products and items that are no longer around that we miss. 312-981-7200. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline studio here until 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So we're talking about products that aren't around anymore that we miss. What do you guys miss? 312-981-7200. All right, how about Hit Clips?
Oh, man.
Launched in 1999 and discontinued in 2004. I don't remember Hit Clips.
They thought it was going to be the next evolution in music listening.
Uh-huh.
They basically would be these little kind of chips, almost, if I remember correctly. You'd place it into a tiny little music player. I think it was maybe two songs, like a side A and a side B. And you'd listen on this tiny little music player. You need little clips, little chips that you would put into this music player. And they're like, yeah, this is great. This is a good idea.
Created by Tiger Electronics, Hit Clips were tiny stereos that came with mini memory card-like cartridges that played 60-second clips of your favorite songs.
Not even the full song.
What? Yes, it was a ridiculous way to listen to music, but in the early aughts, it was also extremely cool to have a bunch of cartridges clipped to your keychain. Unfortunately, MP3 players and iPods soon took over as the ultimate audio status symbol. I do not remember this at all. I don't remember this. I don't remember this at all. And it was extremely cool to have a bunch of cartridges clipped to your keychain.
Yeah, this was aimed at people probably a little bit older than me at the time. Because 99, I was in like kindergarten, first grade. So, but this was like the cool thing. You have the Hit Clips. Listen to 60 seconds of Britney Spears.
I don't even
know.
How is that? How did this happen? And why is it included here for things that we miss? Do people miss Hit Clips?
I can't imagine that anybody actually misses Hit Clips. Except for maybe like, oh, remember that used to be a thing?
Yeah, that's probably the only reason, for nostalgia purposes.
Yeah, no, it was literally useless.
Yeah, that just sounds stupid. I don't even understand. I don't even get it. All right. Now, this next one, people have really missed this product. this is one of those legendary products that people cannot believe are not back, on the market, and that's the Carnation Breakfast Bar. People love the Carnation Breakfast Bar. Launched in 1975, discontinued in 1993. Marketed as, quote, the instant breakfast bar you can get your teeth into. The Carnation Breakfast Bar was a morning mainstay for school kids, college students, and young adults. Decades later, some fans of the Carnation Breakfast Bar are still emotionally distraught over its disappearance from the market. Flavors included peanut butter and granola, peanut butter crunch, and chocolate crunch. Many have petitioned to bring the snack back, but the makers have not budged. And so the people have taken matters into their own hands, and many fans make their own versions of the breakfast bars at home. Yeah, people really seriously have gone nuts over these things, and they haven't been around now for like 20-something years. Like 25 years they've been gone. And but I remember them being huge. People loved the Carnation Breakfast Bar. But Carnation has not brought it back. Yeah. Very, 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 very popular item that people really loved. All right, here's Keith on WGN. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
All right, what's up?
One of the things that I miss from my youth was Jack in the Box.
Yeah, me too.
I know they're out west and stuff, but I tell you what, after a night of entertainment, shall we say?
Yeah.
There's nothing better than go to the Clown at 2 o'clock in the morning and have pork tacos for a dollar.
Exactly right. It was exactly right. Awesome. The Jack in the Box tacos were the best, man. They were the best.
Oh, man.
Were the best. And yeah, I miss Jack in the Box too. I used to like all of their stuff, but especially the tacos.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't know if you know this or not, Keith, but the Burger King tacos are very, very much like the Jack in the Box tacos.
They're not as greasy though.
They're pretty greasy, but they got that crispy edge, and then the soggy middle, and they're deep fried. So I've been told that the Burger King tacos are very, very, very much like the Jack in the Box tacos. So you can get your fix for late night tacos at Burger King instead of Jack in the Box.
I got to check it out.
Yeah. All right, Keith.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy. Take care. Jack in the Box tacos, man. Never go out of style. Yeah, those Burger King tacos. The Jack in the Box tacos are just fantastic. They're deep fried. They're greasy. They're soggy in the middle and crunchy on the edges. And the Burger King tacos are a pretty strong substitute. Yeah. You still haven't had the Burger King tacos, have you?
No, there's not really a Burger King. There is actually a Burger King close to me. But I just, to make the effort.
Yeah.
Today is the day. I got to go get the Burger King
tacos. The Burger King that I've gone to, I don't go to a lot of fast food places though. It's the one right across the street from City North Theater by the Kennedy on Diversey. That's the Burger King that I've gone to, and that's where I've had the Burger King tacos, which taste very close to the Jack in the Box tacos. And don't even get me and Vic started, because you know Vic and I were talking about those Jack in the Box tacos. They're the greatest.
It blew my mind how much Vic enjoyed those Jack in the Box
tacos. He loves them. What's not to love? You know?
He's a man of taste, man of culture.
And he loves Jack in the Box tacos, like any normal human being would. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I miss those. I do miss those. Although, like I said, you can go to Burger King and you've got a pretty good facsimile of that. All right, let's break here. The news is coming up right after this, and then we got more here. 312-981-7200. Hard to believe that my producer Tom has never heard of Triumph. because they jam. Oh, man. Oh, man. Two for Tuesday. Yeah. Who requested the Triumph?
Coming to us from Dino.
Not Canadian Bill? No, huh? So we're talking about things that we miss. Hey, Vic.
Yes, sir.
We were talking about stuff that doesn't we don't have anymore that we miss, like products and things like that. And taco and I'm sorry, the tacos from Jack in the Box were mentioned.
Oh, good.
Oh, my
good, good.
God.
They're on that. They should be on that list.
They're the greatest.
Thank goodness we have the Burger King ones that are similar.
They're similar, not quite as good, but right in the same ballpark. They're nice and greasy. They're soggy.
I'm legitimately awesome tacos. I know they sound disgusting.
They're the best.
They are.
They're the best. They're the best. So, but yeah, people, we were talking about stuff that you know, products and things that aren't around anymore that we miss. And of course, you know, if someone called in and said, man, there's nothing like 2 o'clock in the morning and eating.
Oh, what a great call from that listener. What a great call.
Yeah. Eating the Jack in the Box tacos.
It must be some primitive urge in us to like back when we needed more fat in our diet to survive. That's why. You and I must have Neanderthal genes in us or something.
I don't know what it is, man, but those tacos are the best.
Yeah.
They're the best. Anyway, I wanted to let you know that I know how much you love them.
Thank you, sir.
So we all miss the Jack in the Box tacos. You can still get them, but you can't get them in Chicago. You got to go to the West Coast. So
I did just get a call saying that there is one in Indianapolis that just goes by Jack's.
Is it the same thing, though?
He swears by it. The caller swears by it. Joe.
And says that, like, the tacos are greasy and soggy like they should be?
He says that he did not speak specifically to the tacos, but he did say that this is, for all intents and purposes, a Jack-in-the-Box location.
Does it have the creepy clown?
I can neither confirm nor deny
that was always,
the existence.
That was always, when I was a kid, that was always my favorite. Because there used to be a Jack-in-the-Box right across the street from Lane Tech, Addison and Western, where there is now a Popeyes. That used to be a Jack-in-the-Box when I was a kid. And we used to love to go through the drive-thru on that one because you would talk into the clown's face.
That's right.
You would have to order your food right into the clown's face.
Isn't there a movie where somebody punched one of those?
Yeah.
What movie is that?
Well,
I think
now
it was
I'm
the
thinking,
Jack and Box. Maybe
I'm
not.
Thinking about, you know what I'm thinking? I think we might be thinking of Vacation when Chevy Chase punches Wally the Moose.
Yeah, maybe so.
That might be it because he punches it. But I think there might be a movie where a guy punches out a thing in the drive-thru or punches out a clown in the drive-thru. But yeah, you would talk like the person who was working the drive-thru in the Jack in the Box was speaking through the clown's face. Like that was the clown. So you would order your tacos at 3 o'clock in the morning directly into a clown's mouth.
That's how I like to order my tacos.
Right into the clown. Oh, man. All right, here are things that we've missed. Squeeze It. Do you remember Squeeze It? Squeeze It was established. It was launched in the mid-80s, discontinued in 2001, relaunched in 2006, discontinued again in 2007. The most significant appeal of General Mills Fruity Juice Squeeze It was the packaging. You just ripped off the top and squeezed. This took away from the terrible flavors and lack of any kind of sugary kick and ensured its survival from the mid-80s to 2001, and then they made a comeback and disappeared from shelves for good.
I think I remember this. It reminds me of something very similar, though.
Squeeze It from General Mills.
Did you ever try the Mondo Squeezers?
No.
That was exact same idea, just called something different.
Mondo Squeezers?
Yeah, Mondo.
Mondo?
Mondo good.
All right. How about Poochies?
I had one of these.
You had a Poochie?
Oh, yeah, I had a Poochie.
POOCHIS, Poochies. Launched in 2000, discontinued in 2002. So is this one of them things that you had to keep alive?
Yeah.
One of those, like, electronic things that you had to feed before it or it would die?
Yeah, but it was like a little robot dog. it wasn't like a Tamagotchi. It wouldn't necessarily die. It would just get sad. It would just kind of like whimper at you. Then you'd turn it off because you'd be like, ah, that's stupid. It's not a real dog.
One of the first generations of robotic animal toys, Poochies, were the next best thing if your parents wouldn't let you have a real dog. They were released in 2000 and were a big deal for around 2 years when kids realized that fur real friends did everything Poochies did, but were softer and more huggable, just like real pets. But many still think fondly of the OG robot pet, RoboPet, with its pink tongue and red LED display for eyes.
Yeah, I sure as hell don't.
That thing it had a red LED display for eyes?
Yeah, but it was cuter than that. Like, it would kind of make almost, they were almost like emoji eyes. I don't know how to describe it. If you saw it, it was much more endearing than they make it sound.
All right.
They were terrible, though.
Those were the Poochies.
Sparked all the time.
If you just kept it on, would it just make noises and stuff like a Furby?
Kinda.
Because remember when Furbies?
Oh, I had a Furby.
And the Furby,
believe you me, I had a Furby.
And the Furbies could like communicate with one another.
I didn't like that part. That's what freaked me out.
Yeah. I did not have a Furby. Well, I was a little too old for a Furby.
It's the 90s. It was the late
90s. I remember one of the first things that became in the early days of viral stuff on the internet. I remember somebody did an autopsy on a Furby. Like they cut a Furby open to see what was inside. And I remember that actually was like that was like kind of a big thing on the internet. You know, in the early days of finding viral nonsense that you could see on the internet. I remember the autopsy of the Furby. That was a big thing. Yeah, I don't know. Furby's learning to communicate with one another. I don't know. It's another reason why I don't want any of that Alexa stuff in my house. Because there were reports. This is a few months back. There were reports that Alexa was laughing in the middle of the night. Like all of a sudden you'd hear Alexa laughing. Like, no, I'm not gonna want that in my house. Constantly listening to me and then laughing, just for no reason. Just suddenly hear. I don't want that. I don't need that in my life.
I would want to train it to say, you know, on command, sorry, Dave, I can't do that.
Well, that's where we're going. That's where we're headed.
I, for one, accept our new robot overlords.
Yeah.
At least it'll turn on my house lights for me.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal. Hal, open the pod bay doors.
Because soon it'll be connected to a smart fridge. Hal, open the fridge, please.
Open the fridge, Hal.
Order me some space sticks, Hal.
Here are some other things that people are missing. 708 area code says Western Electric landline telephones. Beige, yellow, green, and red. Excellent voice quality and indestructible. Um, 608 area codes. I miss the jokes at the bottom of the Jolly Good soda cans. Yeah, they used to have jokes on the bottom of the can. So you would drink the pop and then look in there and read a joke in the bottom of the can. And this would give kids more of an incentive to down their pop quickly and get that sugar rush going, because you got to read the joke, man. You got to read the joke. You got to drink this fast. I want to drink it.
Were the jokes any good?
No, they weren't good. Yeah. Jolly Good soda. Yeah, that was that generic kind of pop where, you know, you had your lemon lime and you had your root beer, you had your grape, you had your cola, all the sort of generic flavors, much like yummy pop from Jewel. Yeah. But yeah, there was jokes at the bottom of the can.
What a game changer.
Are you kidding me? That's where my dad gets half his material.
I can picture in his house a pile of empty Jolly Good cans. The secret revealed.
Yeah. All right, we're going to break here. We got the weather. I'm going to give you some weather. It's a nice forecast for the next few days. And then we're going to wrap up the show. But we want to hear from you. What items or what products do you miss? They're not around anymore, and you would love them to come back. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. She's young now. She's wild now. She wants to be free. She gets the magic body and feels it for me. She's young now. She's wild now. She wants to be free. Yeah, man. Triumph.
This one I actually do know. I've heard this song.
Yeah, it's a jam. Canadian rock band Triumph. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline studio here, where I've been coughing and sneezing and doing all kinds of cold-type activities. And by the way, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We were talking about items that you miss that we used to love. And we were talking about Susie's, and apparently somebody is at Susie's right now, listener, and sent Tom a picture live from Susie's. So there it is. Tom, these are the same ones. Sorry. All right. What do we got here? Enoch?
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
All right. How y'all doing this morning?
All right. What's up?
Oh, man. Yeah. I missed the tacos from Jack in the Box. And Burger King I love them just as much, to be honest with you. But I just add the tomatoes and onions, and I was wondering what you guys think about that, adding that.
Yeah, I've never really added anything to the Jack in the Box tacos or the Burger King tacos, because I think they're just great and greasy all by themselves, and soggy. I know I make it sound like real appetizing, but they're delicious. Delicious. All right, Enoch, thanks for the call, man. Rich says, morning all, I miss Arthur Treacher's fish and chips. Best fish anywhere. Yeah, Arthur Treacher's fish and chips was great. There was one at on Addison near Elston and Kedzie. Right there at that intersection by the Jewel where the White Castle is. There was one right there at this Little Caesars now on Addison. It's a Little Caesars. That used to be an Arthur Treacher's fish and chips. It was great. They had great fish and chips. Is Long John Silver still around?
I believe so. It's been a long time since I've seen one, but...
Yeah. Let's see. 262 area code says, LOL, Columbia Records, no one misses getting 1 million record tapes or CDs for 1 cent. You remember that at all?
Yeah, I remember the ads. I remember they. I think it stuck around for a while.
They were in like TV Guide and stuff. And you would tape a penny. You would actually tape a penny to the ad when you mailed it in, and then you would pick from all the selections. You'd pick your, you know, how many of our albums, you know, you get 15 albums for a penny or something like that, and then you have to buy. Then you're roped into purchasing records for the next, you know, 2 years.
Yeah.
I think everybody at some point did it, especially like in the 70s. I did. I was part of it. I'm just thinking back to like how ridiculous is it that you're taping a penny to a piece of cardboard to mail it? You're going to mail a penny. My daughter loved junk mail, and I'm pretty sure I have thrown a Three Doors Down CD in my old desk to punish her for not asking mom. She got married this weekend to an Army vet. He owes me a penny if I find that CD. Three Doors Down?
Yeah. You know Three Doors Down.
Yeah. They're the same as Nickelback, right? Aren't they the same?
Kinda.
All those bands are the same. Not like somebody once told me. No. All right, let's see. A couple more items here that the people miss. Oh, God, clackers. These things could kill you. We were talking about how dangerous toys are. Clackers, these things could kill you. Launched in the 60s, discontinued in 76. First of all, clackers are still around, but not for kids of the 60s and 70s, not the way they remember them. The original design was basic. Two acrylic balls attached to each end of a string designed to smack each other with satisfying force, but unfortunately very dangerous. Too much force and the toy would explode, leading to one instance in a remarkably titled 1976 case, United States versus an article of hazardous substance consisting of 50,000 cardboard boxes, more or less, each containing one pair of clacker balls. What? Yeah. Yeah, clackers. Good idea. How about the Chevy Nova? Anybody miss the Chevy Nova? That was a good little car, the Chevy Nova. How about Pizzeria's Pizza Chips? Pizzeria's Pizza Chips. Launched in the 80s, discontinued in the 90s. Pizzeria's bite-sized pizza-flavored chips were popular in the 80s, but discontinued in the 90s. So far, attempts by consumers to bring them back have failed, but hardcore fans continue to keep the pizzeria's love alive on social media. I don't think I've ever had those. All right. Taco Bell's Bell Beefer.
Not again.
The Bell Beefer.
Not the Beefer.
Launched in 1962, discontinued in the early 80s, fans of Taco Bell's original 1962 menu might have fond memories for the Bell Beefer. It's basically a version of a Sloppy Joe. It was dropped when the fast food chain became 100% Tex-Mex in the early 80s, but social media keeps the memory alive, and there's one Facebook page that refuses to quit. How often has the Bell Beefer been a topic?
A shocking amount. I think it's up there with probably Al Jorgensen.
Al Jorgensen.
In terms of people that get mentioned way too much in my life.
The Bell Beefer. How about Nabisco Swiss cheese crackers? Nabisco Swiss cheese crackers were heaven for those who liked their Swiss cheese in salty cracker form. The product was discontinued, which upset many. There's even a Facebook page called Bring Back Nabisco Swiss Cheese Crackers dedicated to its revival. The good news is that Christie Swiss Cheese Crackers have been identified as a tasty alternative, if you don't mind getting them in Canada. Okay. And, of course, the BlackBerry. Before you scoff from behind the touchscreen of your iPhone, don't forget that in the early 2010s, the BlackBerry was the coolest phone around, and it's still dearly missed by those who find it difficult to use a touchscreen or don't like them. So there it is. BlackBerry stopped producing mobile devices altogether in 2016. You miss your BlackBerry, everybody? It took me a while to get used to a touch screen, though, because I had a phone that had the little clicky buttons, and I like the clicky buttons. So there it is. All righty, then. My thanks to everybody who called and everybody who texted in, and maybe we can get some petitions going to get some of these items back, like the Bell Beefer. I just like saying Bell Beefer. So tomorrow on the show, Wednesday, it'll be Wildcard Wednesday, Any Artist, Any Song, Anything. And author Michael Hughes is going to join us to talk about his book, Country. And we'll have much more as well. So, yeah, author Michael Hughes talking about his book, Country, and Wildcard Wednesday. All coming up on tomorrow's show. All right, let's take a break, and the news is up after this.